W in progress.
Yeah, I'm familiar with emotion.
Yeah, he churns it about four times a day.
With Fred Kirsch.
What's your name, Patriot?
My name's
Paul Perillo.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Noma! Noma!
Okay, you want to churn?
And Andy. And Andy?
Ooh, wow, you got strong arms. He would have definitely survived the hardships of a colonial lifestyle.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Math in Washington. I can't understand a freaking word you're saying. That accent makes you sound retarded.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Why are y'all taping this?
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
He did not get proper nutrition during his toddler years.
Swear to God.
Yeah, his mother's breast milk's like Bailey's Irish cream.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Ye old house of juggery?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Yeah, the job market is really ridiculous right now.
Yeah, I got fired from Tom McCann for using the foot measure inappropriately.
Apparently, my wiener is a lady size 5.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. We're back from Arizona. And, oh, my God, you got that right. Oh, this is going to be like a wake or a funeral or whatever. This is tough, 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 tough.
No, you should have worn black like the Giants.
Yeah. You know, I think I prepared myself for a loss on all those other Super Bowls.
Oh, I did, yeah.
For this one, I did not prepare myself.
I'm still
I wasn't ready for this one.
I talked to Bob Doyle about that just about an hour ago. Yeah, absolutely. Every other one you thought, hey, well, you know, especially the first one,
yeah.
St. Louis, when you were the underdog. But I never even gave it a consideration for this one.
No. No.
It was just, I mean, we were in the stands just stunned. Stunned.
Just,
I thought they were going to win right up until the final play.
Right up until it was over.
I did. I'm serious.
No,
they got the ball back with 29 seconds.
When,
they kicked the field goal.
When Ventrone made his MVP tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Right before the 2 minute warning, it was third down, and Andy said, "Well, let's go down and watch the rest of the game down here because there's two more plays left, then we'll have to go down."
Yeah. Right.
So you still thought, and I think once Manning made that one play, that's when you kind of said
they could only have sacked Manning. They had him. That was the game.
Lots
right?
of hits. Catch the ball, Asante.
The Asante Samuel interception that wasn't.
I would
Rodney
say,
Harrison interception
Fred, I know a lot of people are pointing to those plays, but I would say it went two quarters at 7-3. If the Patriots could have scored one touchdown in any of that span, the game's over.
Well,
because in that type of game, the Giants would have been done.
I know. But you look at all the Manning losses to the Patriots, you know, losses. Even the one during the regular season, they all ended really, were sealed some way by a sack. You know, like in Indianapolis, they sacked Manning, he fumbled, and I think Colvin
obviously
came up the ball, and they had him.
There was one
you know,
year where they
the
sacked
Giants
him out of field
game,
goal.
They sacked him across midfield to kind of really destroy that last, you know, desperation drive, and they had him in this one. And I don't know how he got away.
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
Even Mike Carey had a quote today. He said, "I was watching the play, and I thought there was no way with the weight on top of his back, I was ready to call the sack."
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was about to say, when we were watching that live, I was thinking, where's the in the grasp or blowing the whistle when, you know, it looked like the play was going to be dead.
But if you watch it again on TV, I watched
moving.
The game over on
he
television,
was never
he was never in the
he
grasp.
He wasn't. Yeah, and he also
it looks live, it looked like it a lot more than when you see it on
and
TV.
And Carey's quote that Fred's talking about, he actually made a good point, and he said that he was moving forward. Manning was moving forward. In other words, he hadn't been controlled. It's grasping control, and he was never controlled because he was still moving, and that's why he didn't blow the whistle.
Why is Carey talking?
Was talking about that play in particular and how
close
it was.
Ref couldn't talk.
We should say, though, before we get into the game.
I don't think it was necessarily a controversial play.
Yeah, I thought the game was excellent. It was officialed excellent. It was an excellent job by the officials.
Yep,
you know, we've been getting on Mike Carey a lot in this show, but they let the guys play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There wasn't any huge calls. I mean, I know the tumor
that was
face mask, but
they
as Fred
that.
Pointed out, they intercepted the pass after they picked it off, so it didn't hurt. It
wasn't a detriment. Right.
But
that,
I thought the game was officiated.
That was the only call that I really thought all game that I was like, wow, this
and,
one.
And they did a good job on that call when there was that fumble and there was the you know, the Giants batted it forward.
I didn't quite get that one.
Well, he kicked it.
He didn't kick it.
He batted it.
He called for an illegal bat, and I think he was trying to recover the football. But
It doesn't matter what he was trying to do. It ended up going forward, and you can't do that.
It can't matter what he was trying to do because no one knows what he's trying to do
except him. Exactly.
You couldn't call a penalty on it. You have to view the.
Right, you have to go by what actually happened.
What happened.
Right.
He batted it forward.
It's irrelevant anyway. I think the game was, as Tom said, was excellently officiated.
They weren't. The refs weren't an issue.
Despite what SPFW fans.
They just
think.
Got whooped.
Right.
They got whooped.
And I don't know.
They're lucky to be up 14-10 in the fourth quarter.
I mean,
three of these guys
went to the Pro Bowl for protecting Brady all year.
They should do what Brady and Moss did. They shouldn't go. They should say someone else go instead of us because that was embarrassing.
I don't know what happened. Why was this so much different than that last game of the season? It's the same defensive line they were going up against. And
first of all, Kazure and Neal played, and they didn't play in that last game. Remember we talked about how much that was going to be a benefit.
Was gonna be a big
deal. Kyle Brady didn't play. He played. Well, I saw Kazure get beat. I saw Brady get thrown out of the way like a rag doll by a guy who's smaller than him and is not supposed to be able to do that. It didn't. It was not a positive that they were all healthy and back out there.
And that was the part of the reason. Everybody talked about the Giants' defensive line. I think we all respected the Giants' defensive line. No one overlooked that. But I looked at the first game, like Andy just said, with Ryan O'Callaghan and Russ Hochstein playing against that same defensive line, they got pressure that night. They had pressure on Brady, but not a lot. And certainly nothing comparable to what happened in the Super Bowl with Kazure and Neal, and then obviously Neal went out in the second quarter, and Hochstein had to go in, and he didn't play anywhere near as well in this game as he did in that first one. And then the tight ends weren't playing in that game at all. There was no Watson or Brady.
Yeah.
And you would just figure, if they were able to contain them that night, why are they going to be able to disrupt the game in this one? But they were.
Did Watson have a catch?
No.
No.
Did he get a ball thrown to him?
Yeah,
the end zone.
With the pass interference.
He got tackled.
I think he had one earlier in the game, too, that drive that went right through his hands.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
And the thing that... one of the more disturbing things, and Andy, you pointed this out repeatedly during the game, was the Giants didn't care about Randy Moss at all.
Nope.
Andy kept saying, look, they don't even care. They're just
they had
one
deep
guy
safety. He wouldn't even really be favoring Moss's side. They certainly didn't do anything to target him and take him out of the game. Nothing. They were almost daring the Patriots to go deep.
But their pass rush was so good that the Patriots didn't have time.
As Moss said, he was running routes, and he heard the crowd cheer, and he looked back, and Tom was on his back.
And that's kudos to Steve Spagnuolo, who knew that his pass rush was getting there. So instead of playing 15 yards off with his corners, said, well, you'll have to beat me.
Right.
And he earned himself about $5 to $10 million.
Probably.
If you look at it, that's really the only way that you could stop the Patriots' offense is you say, we're going to send people after the quarterback, and we're going to say, we're going to get there. We're not going to play it safe, like Tom said. We're going to get there, and we're going to cover tight. That's the only way you could do it. Because if you want to sit back, Brady's smart enough and quick enough that he's going to get the ball out on time, and he's going to find the open guy quickly. But there weren't any. They had open receivers, but they didn't have time to get it there. And when they tried the underneath stuff, Welker had a great game with 11 catches. He barely averaged 9 yards a reception.
Right.
There was no
That's
big
great
plays.
Defense,
no
too.
Big plays
there
at
was
all.
No big plays.
Yeah. Going forward on 4th and 13, instead of kicking
we
a 48 yard or even
we
pooch
puzzled.
Punting it and trying to pin him back.
If you don't got a kicker, they can kick it 48 yards in a dome to get a new kicker.
Yeah.
Get a new kicker.
And he can do that. He can kick. He could have made that kick. That wasn't an unmakeable
kick. There's no doubt he has the leg. But
I think that was Bill's ego.
He had previously kicked a kickoff out of bounds. So
a lot of people are saying that had something to do with it. What do you guys think?
I think that's crap.
That's the only thing I can think of is that he didn't have confidence in him.
If that
then get a new kicker.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Well, they might. But at the,
good. We'll get a new one.
You know, but the lack of confidence came during that game. What he saw from him during that game.
I mean, Adam Vinatieri missed kicks, and then they put him back out there to make them. That's what it's his job to do that.
The Giants won the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
They won the Super Bowl. Didn't I see their kicker miss two kicks against
Green Bay? That's right.
And they put him back out there again.
Exactly.
So you're telling me you kick the ball out of bounds, and now you can't kick field goals?
No, that's Tom.
Stupid. No, we're not.
I was sitting next to Paul when it happened.
Especially in this game.
It.
It's not like they were moving down the field with ridiculous ease.
Fred and I looked at each other.
A gimme.
That's the thing is, it's one thing. It would have been one thing if they were having one of their typical 2007 right. offensive games and saying, you know what, we're picking everything up. We hiccuped here, and that's why we're in a fourth down. We're going to get it anyway. There was no indication in that game that the Patriots were capable of picking up more than 10 yards on any play that they had to pick up more than 10 yards.
You know, the only thing I could think of is he was pretty sure he was going to miss. He wasn't confident in Chris Hansen either, not kicking it into the end zone.
So he's afraid to use all his guys?
Worst case scenario, I'll pick up maybe 6 yards if I don't get the first down. They'll be at the 25 instead of the 20 if we punt.
But the play call was clearly to
get the ball in the end zone. And we might break one. Who knows? You know,
the play call was to get the ball in the end zone. So I think you can rule out that last part about picking up 6 yards. That was a double pump move,
right.
And it just
wasn't
there.
We don't know what happened once the ball snapped and what Brady sees and how he audibles.
Well, I do know what
stuff.
Happens when he takes 2 steps from the line of scrimmage and fakes the ball. I mean, I know that was part of the plan. That didn't have anything to do with the defense.
I mean, but what I'm saying is you don't know what Brady did at the line. You know,
But if Bill has a clear-cut plan, if he has it played out so much in his head like you're saying.
Right.
I don't think. I mean, that's what would be played out on the football.
I just don't know. I don't know.
I think we all agree.
I would love
the field goal was the call.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. He's never going to say I didn't think.
But you have to say what it is, because if Herm Edwards did that, we'd say that it was a bad move.
Right.
It was a bad move.
Well, I think
it
was a bad move.
Right. And Fred said it immediately. He's not lying to you. I mean, right when it happened, he was. Fred looked at me and said, you know, I think we were both trying to figure out. Is it really fourth down? Are we missing something?
Right.
Yeah.
Was
there a penalty?
Three, fourth and six?
I think virtually everybody in the stadium said, what are they doing?
Eric was the first. He said, they're going for it. And I said, they're not going to snap this ball. There's no way they're going for it. And then they snapped it. And
holy cow, they snapped it.
I think the announcers, somebody said they're just trying to draw them off sides or something.
And trying to get closer for
then
the
make
field
it a
goal.
Makeable,
maybe make them call a timeout or something.
But to just line up and do what they did.
Then the other thing, you know, this might be a little bit grasping for straws, but 35 seconds left, really 29 seconds left after the kickoff. You know, three timeouts, and really they just heave it downfield three times instead of just trying to, you know, pick up some yardage, call timeouts, maybe spike the ball a couple times.
I don't think that's grasping at straws.
I don't either.
Because like Andy said to Tom, at the, you know, when you guys were together, you fully expected him to go down and at least get a crack at a field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically 20-yard pass to Welker over the middle. You're right.
They basically said to themselves, we got to score a touchdown. And I'm wondering if that had something to do with the kicker. And they just said, we're just going to go bombs away and heave it, you know,
downfield.
Then
he should have been inactive.
But it made no sense to me.
I mean,
thought
is there a chance he hurt himself on that kickoff where he kicked it out of bounds?
Possibly.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
That's the first plausible reason I've heard so far, because nothing else makes sense to me. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, why not fake punt? You don't fake punt from the 31-yard line.
Well, they scored a touchdown, though, and he kicked off, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, he probably had to kick off. I mean, who else was going to kick off?
Yeah, Ventrone had that great tackle.
Yeah, so.
And it was a decent kick.
It was a decent kick.
That was the only
right.
other play that he played
You'd
on.
Think if he couldn't kick a field goal, he would do what Nate Keating did and kick to the 20 if he had a broken leg while kicking.
Theoretically. Well, he has been bombing him into the end zone all year, and he didn't bomb any of them into the end zone that night.
That one was a good one, though.
Welker might have had to have been pressed into service if that were the case.
Oh, that's right, because I don't know if you know, but he kicked it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he
against
kicked.
Right.
That
Miami.
That one deep one to Moss, first of all, Brady threw the ball 75 yards.
I know, that
air.
Was a very impressive
And second
throw.
Of all, it was way too close for the Giants. Like,
oh, God, if I was a Giants fan, I don't know, which one was it that Webster,
one.
Corey Webster barely got his hand on the ball, and then it went off Moss's hands?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, do you guys think Moss should have jumped?
Yes, I do. I'm surprised he didn't leap. And get his body in front of the
ball. Now that's grasping at straws.
I'm not going to criticize his ability
to go get
the ball.
I know, but Brady got it that
He would have had to have leaped and turned his body kind of a la Terry Glenn in that Green Bay Super Bowl. Remember that early that's the type of catch he would have had to make.
This throw wasn't pitcher perfect like that one.
Moss doesn't like going up and not having control going down. You don't see him going up and falling. You know, for the ball.
I can't criticize him for his ability to go get the ball downfield.
But
whatever
he
thinks
is
the best way.
That's why I'm asking, though, Andy, is because I've seen him so many times during the course of the year.
No, I know. So
take the ball away from guys, and this one he didn't seem to do that.
Whatever he does, I think is the right decision.
Wow.
Spagnuolo to remain with the Giants.
In Belichick, we trust. In Moss, Andy
trusts. I mean, I saw the guy make ridiculous catches down the field. I'm going to say he knows what he's doing.
If I didn't see him do it, then I probably would lean to you and say,
what he thought was the
what
best.
What he thought was best, but I saw him jump over guys in Miami like they were standing still.
I'd rather criticize Bill for a while.
But all these things we're talking about, Asante Samuel, not kicking a 48-yard.
They got whooped.
You know,
they got their butts beat.
The Manning
play. It all comes down to the trenches, as many Super Bowls do.
It was the best Super Bowl slogan ever.
And their defensive line just flat out beat our offensive line. Having said that, I think our defensive line played very well.
Very well.
Yes.
I think Vince Wilfork was
the only unit that played well.
Yeah, the defensive line for the Patriots dominated, not to the extent because they didn't get the pressure, but
and I would have liked to have seen them stop on that 4th-and-1 at the end of the game. But
overall, though, Fred,
that's almost an impossible stop, though, because you're not really.
But they've done it before.
But you're not. But you have to see, this is a little different. You're not real. That's not really a short yardage situation because you have to protect the field.
Right. Right.
You know, given the time on the clock, you can't just put 9 guys, 10 guys up at the line and hope. And they still, I mean, they didn't. It wasn't exactly
he got 2 yards.
It wasn't like he broke through clean.
No, but I think against the run, the Patriots played great. And I think, you know, look, they gave up 17
points. And they got pressure,
too.
They didn't get as much as the Giants did. But
that's
Seymour, Green,
part.
Wilfork, Warren, those guys were in the backfield throughout the game.
That's the stunning part was, to me, the whole game is the way it unfolded, that the Giants won a low-scoring game.
Yep.
If you told me the Giants were going to score 17 points, I couldn't run to the bookie quick.
That was
enough.
My prediction, 42-17. I had the Giants part right, but who the hell thought the Patriots were going
to
score 14?
Stunning to me, just stunning.
The other thing, too, was it looked like they were in a fog the whole game, the Patriots. They just didn't look motivated.
It did.
I've heard that.
They didn't look right from the beginning.
They couldn't match the intensity.
See, I'm not sure about that.
They couldn't.
Why do you say that? Because
they were
specific.
Just walking around.
You think so? I saw a lot of, like, you know, hitting hard
There's one thing I always remember when Troy Aikman said about the Cowboys. He said towards the end of their run, it stopped being fun for them because they were supposed to win all the time. And he said, whenever we got upset, it was kind of like the USA and the Russia thing where you see the USA guys all celebrating. He said it became such a business to us and we had to win. That's all I could think of was in that Super Bowl was they have to win. You know what I mean? Like it's not even a game for them
anymore.
It's such a business now for them.
Yep.
I don't know.
They look like
I thought they looked a little listless and lethargic.
Yeah. I go
lethargic is the best.
I use Brady as the barometer. When Brady is out there and his shoulders are slunking and
his head's down
and he has that look where he's got that Peyton Manning look where he throws his arms up in the air and just kind of looks like, oh, woe is me. When he acts like that, the rest of the team follows suit, it seems to me.
I thought there was one play in the second half that it was a 10 or 12 yard out to Welker that he threw well over his head. And looked like there was probably miscommunication, kind of like the play with Manning, the Samuel near interception, I think had to have been a miscommunication between quarterback and receiver. But Brady just looked out at Welker and started barking at him. And I'm not saying the quarterback is in charge. I'm not saying that in itself was a bad thing by Brady. I'm saying it was kind of an example of things weren't going right, and they didn't really understand why, and they didn't look right. That, you know, everything that we were watching didn't look like what we saw the first 17, 18 games.
Well, that's what happens, though, when you have no time to do anything.
You start getting
frustrated. You feel.
But even Brady, his throws were off. Even when he had time, his throws were
that
never.
That wasn't
a
moss.
That's
a result.
A result of the pressure.
And we heard all week that the offense was off. In practice, they weren't sharp.
That's a good point.
The one he missed to Moss in the end zone on the out, he hits that 99 out of 100 times.
Right.
Yeah. Moss was wide open.
Let me tell you something. There's not a quarterback in the league that doesn't hit that one.
Yeah.
That was just inexplicable.
And Moss even said it in his post-game interview. He said, we couldn't match their intensity. From the get-go.
That's a good point, Andy, about the passing game, because all the pool reports said that the passing game didn't appear to be in sync, they weren't clicking,
and
Belichick wasn't happy, and it wasn't.
But on the other hand, I heard on Saturday, Bill Belichick had never looked more loose and confident before a Super Bowl.
I absolutely agree with that, too. I thought all week that the team and the coach in particular were very loose.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's inexplicable.
That's what CNN.
It's got all of Patriot Nation shaking their heads. We're going to take your emails at webradio@patriots.com.
One thing I wanted to say is this isn't a good season. I don't want to hear anyone tell me this was a good season. You were one game away from not only the Super Bowl, but from doing something that nobody has done. So
and
don't
this is
tell
take
me.
A while.
Well, now, I think it was a good season.
Yeah, great. You know what's the worst loss I ever suffered, Fred? Was when the Cowboys were going for 3 straight Super Bowls. Because I knew that nobody else would ever have a chance to do
this. It's very disappointing.
So 15 years from now, even if the Patriots win the Super Bowl this next coming year, you're always going to remember the night.
I understand. It's always going to have a bitter taste.
Yes.
But But I think, you know, going 16-0 in the regular season, you know, breaking the points record, breaking the touchdown record, yeah. It does mean something. It does mean something.
Yeah, everyone remembers the Redskins and the Vikings.
Well, they all remember, you know, Air Corey Allen. They all remember the Vikings doing it.
It means something. Like they remember Jose Canseco.
But I'm just saying, it means something.
It means something, but
they put up offense. They hit long home runs. They didn't win titles.
It means something, but it's always followed by,
absolutely. I mean, this will always be the team that had a chance to go undefeated and didn't do it.
Yeah. They're the worst 18-1 team ever.
There's no denying that. There's no denying that.
See, when people think of the 98 Vikings, they think of that offense. When people think of the 2007 Patriots, they're going to think of choking in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's fair, but that's what people are going to think.
And they'll think. And one of the reasons why it was considered a choke was how great they were during the season.
Absolutely. And I don't think they choked.
So they'll be infamous, not famous.
I think they lost. They got beat. I don't think they choked.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between all the things that you do on normally, and all, you know, you're dropping the ball, you're falling down, you can't do this, you can't hold on to the ball, you're fumbling. They didn't do that. They didn't go out and turn the ball over five times. That, to me, would have been a choke, things that they hadn't done all year. They got beat up.
Do you guys think that they really thought they were going to win the game easily?
Yes.
Because
there might have been some of that.
It looked to
they
me
expected
like
to win.
When they were in a fight, they didn't really want to fight. Like, it just seemed to me that they really thought that they were going to win. Like,
I think that's probably closer to the truth than choking. I've heard a lot of people throw the choke word around.
If anything, you know, the way the Giants had held the Patriots to 10 points up until that last drive, and then boom, 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 boom.
Seven
points. You could have said maybe the Giants were choking a little bit at the end.
Spagnuolo.
No, they're not expected to win.
But Spagnuolo did, and I'll give him credit for this. For some reason, and you hate when coaches do this, he changed it up. And didn't bring the pressure. And he said it at post game, that was my mistake. We should have done what we've been doing all game. And I laid off. And then he said Brady started getting in a rhythm with Welker. And then when we tried to bring the pressure again, we couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
and you know, it's funny because
that is choking.
A lot of people talked about you know, the no huddle and adjustments and things like that. And it's interesting to hear Spagnuolo say that, because the first time they went no huddle at the end of the first half, the Giants absolutely teed off on Brady. I thought they were going to kill him in the end zone. It was only because Welker made that ridiculous catch on the ball that was way behind him.
Yeah.
And they were able to get out from the end zone there, or Brady could have gotten killed. And they had also had a long screen pass to Stallworth on a third and long that converted the first one, if I'm getting the possessions right. But they had heavy pressure on Brady on about three or four passes. Ultimately, that hurry-up drive ended with a strip sack. You know, at midfield. So the first time a lot of people said, "Well, you go no huddle, you tire out that pass rush." All that did was fuel the fire for the Giants pass rush. They had as much pressure on that possession as any. So it's interesting to hear Spagnuolo say the next time, because they kind of hurried the tempo up again on that late drive, and people are looking at that and saying, "See if they had done that earlier." But I don't necessarily think that's accurate.
And then again, Paul, after that drive, when they got the ball back with 39, they said, "Well,
we're coming after you, and if you beat us, you beat us." Can you imagine if they completed one of those bombs?
Yeah,
I thought they were.
I was expecting it.
When I saw the play calls, I knew the game was over. I mean, there's no way that was going to happen. But I was waiting for what Tom said. You know, you send Welker across the middle for 8 yards and then see if he can run another 8 yards. Timeout. Do it again. Timeout. Now you're at midfield. Now you can take a shot, 120-yard pass, and get out of bounds or something. I can kick a field goal.
I tell you what, though, I would not have been surprised in the least if Moss came down with that ball.
I would have been stunned.
I wouldn't have been.
In that time, place, and circumstance, that play has about a 1% chance of working.
But it's Moss.
So what?
He's made those catches all year.
Well, not in that situation.
Not in that situation.
No, but he's made that type of catch.
I know.
So that's why I wasn't surprised.
I was expecting it until it was over.
With the game on the line, I don't think they had very much of a chance of completing one of those bombs.
I had given up at that point myself.
Wow.
I just didn't.
I hadn't given up before it was over. I hadn't given up on the on a field goal.
Bill was already in the locker room showering.
I hadn't given up on a field goal. I gave up. I mean, if you told me they're going to run three bombs and get sacked on the four plays, then I would have said.
But
no,
I gave up on
no
the
shot.
Field goal when it was clear they had no intention to go for a field goal.
Yeah, but you know what? If they complete one of those passes, Paul, there's probably like maybe 10 seconds left. They probably do just kick
one
the field
second
goal.
Left.
Yeah, but they don't have a kicker.
No, the previous one to Moss. They did two long passes to Moss. If they complete that
or
one,
the Gaffney one. It was a Gaffney
first
one.
Yeah,
it was Gaffney and then
probably
a sack and then Moss and Moss. How many yards do you think they wouldn't get on it?
You saw where the ball landed.
16-yard line.
Yeah, but the ball landed at like the 20.
I don't think they'd have landed on the 20.
Was it not like a 70-yard
pass? Down there.
The one pass he threw to Moss was 70, 75.
Yeah, it was way down.
I saw it again on TV.
That doesn't get you to the 20.
I couldn't believe it.
It was
sure
pretty.
Does.
Yes, it was.
From your own 16, he's throwing the ball from about his 10, and he's getting it to the other 20.
35
yeah,
yards,
70
plus,
yards.
35 yards
no
plus
that's
30
yards.
Yards.
No
yes,
way.
It is.
No
that's,
way did he throw it 70 yards.
I have the highlights on my iPad.
I'll watch it.
I couldn't believe it, Paul.
And I've heard players raving about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it and I'll take your word for it.
Because I rewinded it and I said, oh my God, how far did he throw that?
It was a heave. I don't think they had any shot in hell of completing any one of those three
passes. Oh, I don't think so either. Yeah, but it was down there.
I think it was a poor decision on the coach's part to try to put it all in one fluke.
It may have been a poor decision, but I wasn't surprised that they did it, and I wouldn't have been surprised if he came down with it.
Well, if it's a poor decision, why wouldn't you be surprised that they did it?
Because it's Moss.
It's Bill Belichick. He's made his career.
You saw that catch in Miami.
Decisions.
You saw that heave that
yes,
he threw in Miami.
There was a play, and
but he was
they
double
were up
covered
28
on that
to nothing, and it didn't matter. There's a whole different dynamic involved.
These guys were playing for their lives.
I mean,
they weren't going to let that happen.
It almost did happen, though.
Randy Moss
it didn't
is
really
good,
almost
though.
Happen. The ball went off of two guys' hands and it hit Moss. I mean, that's a little different than almost catching.
The fact that
Moss
the ball was on the fact that the ball was on target, 75 yards downfield, tells me that there was a shot that it could have happened.
All right.
Yeah.
There was two other guys in his shirt. I mean, that's what made the David Tyree play a fluke. You think the Giants wanted? You think that's what the play the Giants wanted, with him pinning the ball on his helmet? That's what would have taken, is a fluke play like that. And to me, I think Tom's rationale is much more prudent. You take a couple of
that's what everybody
shots over
expected
the middle.
Was that they were going to dink and dunk their way down there because that's what they've always done.
Right, but you know, we're saying
they
we're not surprised
it.
That they went to Moss. I was stunned.
I think the way that the Giants' defensive line was playing, the only way the Patriots could have controlled that game was if they had run, and they weren't. They
couldn't run.
It looked at first like they were going
to
be able to, but then they kind of.
We should bring this up, Fred.
Yeah.
We had said all year, if they have to run, can they run? They needed to run to get pressure off Brady, and they couldn't do it. Now, I'm not putting this on Lawrence Maroney.
This has nothing to do with Maroney.
Nothing
this is the offensive line's game.
He looked okay on the few runs that he had,
yeah.
You know, when he got through the line. But the offensive line couldn't run block when
right.
they needed to run block.
And the bottom line is you could have invented a third way that you move the ball, whether it's pass, run, or something else.
And the offensive line.
Strahan, Umanure, and Justin Tuck would have found a way to defend that. They won this game. That was... That was what it was.
You can't put it on Maroney.
Yeah, I mean,
if
the
line.
Giants had ended up winning 14-10, you know, or
the Patriots.
I mean, the Patriots. I think that you know the MVP for the Giants would definitely be that defensive line, not Manning.
Well, I still think Tuck should have gotten consideration.
Justin Tuck probably should have gotten it anyway.
Consideration.
Yeah, Justin Tuck. Well,
you got to give it to Manning.
Right, my father thought Tuck probably should have won it, but
Justin Tuck was the MVP until the last drive.
Right.
I mean, that's the, you know, we were talking about. I had Jim Donaldson from the Providence Journal next to me. He had a vote. Mike Reese was in front of me. And that's we were all talking kind of amongst each other, and we all had said if the Giants win, it's Tuck. If the Patriots win, it was probably going to be Welker. But I think, and Andy pointed this out after the game, I think if the Patriots had won 14-10, I think he had a strong argument that it could have gone to Tuck anyway.
Yeah.
Even
really?
If the Patriots
won. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they held the best offense ever to 14 points,
but
and he's the main reason.
I think they would have given it to Welker.
They probably would have.
I think he would have, too, because they don't think enough to be outside
receiving
the box.
It for the defensive line. I mean, you give it to the guy who
right.
had, but basically you're giving it to
I
the
couldn't
entire
vote,
defensive
I couldn't
line.
Vote for the defensive right. line, but Tuck, to me, was the one guy that seemed to stand out more than the rest.
All right, on the phone right now is James from Roanoke Rapids. James, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
It could be better.
Yeah, I know. I had planned on calling you after the Super Bowl, no matter how it turned out, but it didn't turn out the way I hoped it would.
That's for sure.
You got that right.
Yeah. Like everybody was saying, this is one of the most disappointing losses I ever seen as far as a team.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, how could there be a more disappointing loss?
And that's been an argument. A lot of people are comparing it to 86 for the Red Sox because there had been the drought and they had built that expectation. It was basically over two strikes, one strike away.
Well, I was disappointed then too, but I'm talking about just Patriots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are saying this is the most disappointing
ever.
Sports.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed in 86, maybe even more, but you know, as far as the Patriots, there's no doubt in my mind that to me this is the most not only disappointing but frustrating
mm-hmm.
loss. You know, just frustrated.
The way it
yeah.
happened.
I'm frustrated.
You knew the Patriots were a better team, but that day the Giants just had a better game plan. They beat the Patriots.
They sure did.
The better team won that day,
right.
as the coaches like to say.
Yep.
And one of the points I wanted to make was it was just so many missed opportunities. I told my wife, she would watch the game with me. I said, how many more chances can they give Manning? Because every time they had a chance to get a fumble, and Pierre Woods actually had that fumble.
Yeah.
The guy rolled him over before they rolled the whistle and took the ball away from him.
Yeah. He had jumped on the ball. He didn't really have his arms around. It was kind of like in his crotch, and he was trying to get it in his arms. And Bradshaw did a great play by just manhandling it away from him.
You got to have that fumble. That fumble has to be recovered.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Belichick not letting the kick field goal. It was only 48 yards. It wasn't like it was unmakeable.
No.
Yeah, you know, that would have been at least tied him up in the game.
Yep. Sure would have.
Yeah, a couple of, it was just different. That last pass play with a guy caught the ball on his helmet.
Yeah.
Saw it again in a replay, and Samuel's standing there watching it. He was within distance. If he had went after the ball, he might have took it off with the helmet. Might have knocked it loose.
It happened so quick. Right. You know,
and they were all kind of watching. Rodney was watching before he got back in the play because they thought he was sacked.
Right.
If you watch the replay, Harrison is a good 5 yards away from Tyree and almost in that, like, relaxing after the play is over mode, and he gets back into it.
And it's not like Manning threw a bullet down there.
I know, it was kind of a duck.
Rainbow,
it was a little blue, 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 Paul Perillo throw.
Very much so.
It epitomized the whole game. It looked like the Patriots were just one step away and never made the play.
Yeah,
you're right. There's a number of times I turned to Tom, okay, this is where they do it, whether it's
coming out of halftime, this is where they make the adjustments.
Coming out of halftime, I was like, no, okay, now this is the drive.
The 12 men on the field, here's where they take advantage of an extra chance. Or they got that kickoff, but then there was a penalty.
There was always
these plays where you felt like, this is where they always
take
over.
And also, you know, Ventrone's big hit.
You think, that one too.
You're like, well, you know, they didn't get the big return they needed, I'm saying.
They'll stop him here, and then Kevin Boss gets open and beats Harrison for like 30 yards.
Giants made all the plays.
I will say one thing. The Giants are lucky they won because Paul had said earlier that Kevin Gilbride was in some trouble. I'd still fire him. He's a terrible offensive coordinator. They could have run in cuts on Ellis Hobbs all night. The play they threw to Burris in the end zone that got knocked away, which was a good call, by the way, to take a shot. But Toomer was wide open coming across.
Yep.
Did anybody upstairs see that? And then finally they hit Boss across the middle. To me, I understood the Giants' play calling early was to stay in the game, to run clock.
Throw on third down, and hopefully we convert it, and it worked.
But at some point, you have to say our strategy worked. Now we have to score because we're still down 7-3. You know what I mean?
And I looked at the guys around me on the first drive, and that was an impressive drive.
Yeah,
they completed, I think, 4 consecutive third downs, which is a Super Bowl record. 9.59 Super Bowl record. But when you only got 3 points on the drive, I looked and I said, advantage Patriots.
Absolutely.
Because now in 3 minutes from now, it's going to be 7-3. And that was the only prediction ultimately that anybody made all night that was correct.
Right.
Anthony in Naples is on the phone. Anthony, how you doing?
I wish I could be better, guys, you know, besides the obvious.
So what do you got for us?
I'm just, you know, why was Ellis Hobbs one-on-one with Plexico?
Because they blitzed.
They blitzed.
You know what? I know everyone's going to complain about this, but the Patriots do that all the time. I said right before the play, I said, you know they're coming because when they get in the red zone and they're desperate, they blitz, and it usually works. And this time it didn't.
Yeah. I just sat there. I just couldn't get over it.
You
got
to make a play at that point. You know, at some, they're right there. They're going to score. You got to try to do something. So Hobbs has to make a play. You can't. What do you want to play, zone? It's hard to play zone. I can't fault them for blitzing there. In my opinion, Hobbs has to step up and make a play.
And, I think that one guy that kind of took himself out of the game and the Giants had his number was Junior Seau.
He was really a non-factor. Fred, go ahead. We'll get to this after. I'm chewing.
You're eating your granola bar, but I just saw him in so many plays.
Can we talk about this?
He could not shed a block to save his life.
We keep hearing how great Seau's been all year. This guy does more before the snap and gets taken out of more freaking plays than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's running around. I noticed it in the Charger game and this game. The center just abuses him. Just takes him right out. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. You know, what hurts, it's all for nothing. They're the greatest, it's the worst 18-1 record ever.
Yep.
Well, it is. It's the only one out of the three that didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right. Exactly. It's just like, it just really ticks me off. I literally lost sleep. I woke up like five times that night. It was ridiculous. It was just like, I can't believe that I witnessed that. I thought I was going to, like, I knew the 2 weeks leading up, I was like really bummed out. First of all, it was New York. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to explain the New York-Boston thing. I said, out of all the teams in the world, why do, if we have the chance to lose, why a New York team, let alone the Giants? And then it's just, you go through 18 games, no loss. And then to get that at the end, it was a real kick in the nuts.
I know. And, you know, all season you're talking, well, NFC, it doesn't matter what NFC gets there, they're going to lose, you know, because it's the NFC. And
not so fast,
do you guys think we have to start, in today's NFL, we have to start re-looking at how we do the playoffs? Because I've always been a believer that the best team, the seed, you know, the seeding, you got to get one of the top two seeds. But you look what's happened lately. The Giants go on the road, win these games. The Steelers go on the road, win all these games. The Colts didn't have the bye. I think maybe in today's NFL, it's who gets hot at the right time. It doesn't matter what you do in the regular season.
Well, that's it.
Because the divide isn't as big. Now, I think the divide is still as big, but I think the Patriots were a way better team than the Giants.
No question about it.
But for the Cowboys and the Packers, I don't think the divide was quite as big between the Giants and those two teams.
Right.
So if you're hot and they're not,
exactly,
the home field isn't
like
as big an advantage.
It's not like the old days when the Niners and Cowboys.
Right. The old days, one and two were clearly
huge. Take the last couple of weeks off and just turn it on.
Right.
Wake me
up.
And
all year long, that offensive line, you know, was just spectacular. And it's just, I just can't, I don't understand why they were just breaking down the way that they were. Can you explain it to me?
They got their asses whooped. On man, they got whooped.
Well, you know, one thing that I was thinking of during the game, everyone joked about the word blueprint after the Eagles game. You know, the sports radio here, the fans made jokes about it. But we all know where Spagnuolo came from.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the same game plan, except the Giants have a much better defensive line than the Eagles and were able to generate more pressure. But they played the same way. They bumped the receivers. They blitzed at times. So I know we laughed at that being a blueprint, but I think Spagnuolo looked at that game and took a lot from it.
See, the other thing I think that backs up that point was, if you see the teams that they didn't win, okay, and no one shut them down. The only team that shut them down was the Giants, okay? But the teams that came the closest to bothering the Patriots used that style.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're right. We can laugh at it, but San Diego, what did they try to do? They weren't quite successful enough because Merriman and Phillips didn't get the pressure, but they tried to get there with four guys, and they tried to be physical with the receivers, and they caused three interceptions as a result. They didn't win the game because their offense didn't support them. What did Baltimore do? They didn't blitz out of their minds. They tried to pressure with the front four guys. And they got physical in the secondary. As a matter of fact, they were so physical that Fred's still crying about calls that they didn't get in that game.
That's absolutely true.
The only reason I laugh at the blueprint thing is because, to me, it demeans the players.
Oh, yeah.
And in the bottom line
and
is,
that does.
Those guys up front won the game. You know what I mean?
And that's what Tom's point is.
That's the way I kind of laugh at blueprint, because without Tuck and Michael Strahan, Osiemanyora,
win. But that was the difference.
That's the difference. Right. The players were the difference.
But that's why the idea of blueprint is like, oh, well, the every team can come in here, and as long as they follow these three principles, they win.
You've got to have the personnel to do it.
Was the best football player on that field that night, and he's a big reason why they won.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, as a fan, you know, just because you, like, the way I looked at it, when people say blueprint, I don't think, you know, it's just a certain scheme. Obviously, you do need the players.
Right.
You know, and that's what they had. They had the players to do it. It was just, it's amazing how they did. I thought going into the second half, I thought maybe they were still going to bring that surge in the third quarter. But I thought eventually towards the fourth quarter, they would slow down a bit, and then the Patriots would start picking them apart, as in Brady. And it just didn't happen. They just kept bringing the pressure. I'm sitting there. I'm like, what are they taking, like, B12 shots, like, every other, like, possession? Like, it was just insane how much pressure they were bringing.
Yeah, but if you look back now, and we can do this now, the Cowboy game, you're thinking, well, it was the coaching. You know, the coaching screwed up. Then the Packer game, you're thinking, Favre had one of his games. But now you look back at all three games, you know what it was? It was the Giants' defense.
Right.
That's what it was.
And I like that Spagnuolo also said, like I was saying, he really put a lot of emphasis on the players. You know, around here sometimes players get rubbed the wrong way because it's Belichick's scheme. He said this is still a player's game, and those guys went out there and did it.
And, you know, it's funny, a lot of people were saying when the Giants upset the Packers, oh, you know, it would have been better. You know, it's better that the Giants won because, you know, the Pats have the advantage. Now, looking back on it, you just have to say they probably would have been better off playing the Packers.
Heck yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, Anthony in Naples, thank you for calling in. All right, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com, and we'll get to them right after this.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9920 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, just want to remind everyone that we'll be here every Tuesday and Thursday from 12 to 2 Eastern.
Maybe if we send food.
Yeah, people better get on that.
You can't do shows in the offseason without
Renee,
food.
Renee, give somebody else the presidency to my fan club. What a piece of trash.
And
say you're going to give us food, then you don't?
You tease.
In a couple weeks, Tom and Andy will be headed out to the Combine.
Maybe.
To be bringing reports from back there. So we got a lot
looking
going on.
Looking forward to that Paul only show.
A lot going on.
Fred, you're not
going
to stiff me on that
no.
one, are you?
No, it'll be Paul and Eric.
A lot going on.
Sorry, the Paul Olson show.
On the phone right now is Christian. Christian, how you doing?
I don't know. A little better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tough
not
week.
That, I mean, it's just, you know.
Fred wasn't that depressed.
It is what it is.
No, it was just like I just keep replaying that last drive over in my head. But the thing that aggravates me the most is that we just got slapped in the mouth. Yeah. And that's what happened. I mean, that's, anybody who watched that game knows we just got pushed around. And like you said, you're looking at them and they're coming off the field and there's this look of like they were in space.
Yep.
I don't know where they were, but they weren't there. You know, I mean, it was frustrating, but I look at it this way. If we got one or two more first downs on offense, there's the 2 minutes left that the Giants have basically throughout the game. I mean, that's the second half, you know.
Yeah, but you had to score a touchdown
to take the lead.
No, of course you did. I understand that. But, I mean, even before that, the third quarter when there was no – I mean, nobody scored a point in the third quarter. We couldn't do anything.
I'd be much more frustrated. Yeah, I agree with you. I would be much more frustrated with the way the first three-and-a-half-plus quarters went than I would the last drive. The last drive
absolutely.
Is just one of those things. What are you going to do? We had chances to make plays. They made them.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, they made them, and, you know, we were there, and just, you know, balls here and there just going off of – Patriots' hands, and but it was frustrating. But you know, it was just gotta move on, I guess. You know,
sucks.
That's what you gotta do. Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. But I want to thank you guys. This whole year has been great. I really look forward to listening to you. And you guys are gonna be on Tuesday and Thursday. You said hopefully. So
yep. Tuesdays and Thursdays. We will
at least
be.
Until the draft.
We will be.
Yep. All right, good. Well,
all right.
I expect lunch. So thanks again, guys.
Okay, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Talk.
Thank
was
you.
That about lunch?
Did he say he sent lunch?
I didn't catch it.
But the most important part of the call. Right?
Spagnuolo got a 3-year deal, $2 million a year to stay.
Good
in
for
New
him.
York.
Wow.
Guy's been a coordinator a
he's
year.
The
everybody's
highest,
just
the highest paid defensive coordinator in football.
More than Greg Williams?
I like him.
He's the highest paid defensive coordinator.
I liked what I saw from him. I liked the way he handled himself post-game. He was walking through the tent with his wife. He looked like a nice guy. I like him. We should say one thing, Fred, and I want to say this because of I heard some local radio people sort of quasi-ripping the Super Bowl that it shouldn't be in the regular rotation. I disagree.
Yeah.
Arizona?
I thought Phoenix, Glendale, Scottsdale area.
Who in God's name said that?
Dale
what were they
and
ripping
Holly.
About?
They said
they
it,
should be
it
shot.
Was okay, but it shouldn't. It's the stadium. They didn't like the stadium. It wasn't that nice.
The
don't
stadium,
listen to
the
those
stadium
buffoons.
Was beautiful.
Are you
it might
kidding?
Be the
stadium
second,
was
it
beautiful.
It might be the second best behind Houston in my mind. I know everybody has their own
it was nice.
Taste and stuff.
The one flaw was it's a horseshoe and not a full circle, which we learned when we tried to take our tour of the stadium.
Now, from talking to some of the fans, I guess they were saying that the lines of the concessions that were very slow in the restrooms, but
that's cuz everybody's too nice. They're probably, "Hey, how you doing today? What can I get you?"
But that's a Super Bowl
need anything else?
Problem in general. That happens every
They didn't run out of food, did they? Like Jacksonville?
I don't know about that.
Keep that on the down low.
They did?
It's yeah, on the ood thing.
I heard they did, but I wasn't sure.
How do you
that.
Run out of food? You know how many people are going to be there?
That's a game day thing.
I'll tell you.
The whole
yeah, but Paul was there.
The thing that happens, I'm not the one that made you go and I didn't submit my orders to
that's
you.
That's right. You were my bitch. You brought me water.
I just think I couldn't agree with Andy more. I thought that area
was beautiful.
Really deserved.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They put a lot into it. Beth had a friend that lives there. They were very excited about this. They took it very seriously, and they wanted to put their best foot forward. And nothing could have been done any more efficiently than –
Plus, they had that other event going on, and I didn't even know that it was down the street
at
the hotel.
That's the big thing. I had to travel every day to the Giants, and we traveled to the convention center. There was hardly any traffic.
They were telling us
it's weird. All these
they were telling us how early to leave for the game because it's going to be a two-hour ride.
Fred got us up at 4:30 in the morning to get to the stadium.
And we just breezed right in.
Did we tap our brakes ever? Ever?
No.
We just cruised right in.
We actually only when Chris Ferreira had a pass that guy on the right side.
Yeah. We actually were the first media at the.
But I
we couldn't get into
the only problem we had
press.
Was with a garage wall.
You should have just come up.
You
with
know,
us.
With Silverman.
I'm ready to move out there. I'm
Tom
serious.
Is.
I'll do it.
He's going to put a proposal together
because
they don't have a team paper.
They don't have a team paper. I wanted to do a Kirsch. I wanted to go to the Bidwells.
Cardinals Football Weekly.
They like to spend money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was thinking maybe we could start a paper. I'll
see FW in progress.
Good luck with that.
Oh, if I started a paper and radio, we'd kill you guys.
I'd go CW.
We could call it bird watching.
We'd kill you guys.
Yeah. Cardinals Weekly.
You'd be off the air in a year.
All right.
What are you going to talk about?
Web radio at patriots.com.
How great it is to live out here. Everyone's so nice.
You'll have a lot of free time in January.
Kyle in Wakefield, New Hampshire says, I'm sure you're all as bummed out as I am, except maybe Tom.
And Fred, he's been giddy all week. I don't understand. I think he snapped finally.
Yesterday when I got in, he was clapping.
He was bubbly. He was like a little schoolgirl chewing his gum, bouncing off the wall.
I don't know if I will ever get over this one unless the Patriots amazingly are able to finish off another undefeated season next year, which I think we all agree is a reach. But where do you
they didn't
think
finish
the team,
off an undefeated season this year.
Where do you think the team will go from here? Do you think that this will drive the team even more next year to get back and finish the job? And P.S. on a lighter note, is Paul really shaving his head now that the Giants have won?
Yes, no. He said he would.
He's going to meow out.
Nothing worse than a guy who doesn't pay his bets. You know what I mean?
Come on, Paul. Just do it. It'll be back in 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know about 2 weeks.
But it'll grow back.
It'll grow back.
Just do it.
What do you think about this team next year? Do you think
I'd look ridiculous?
Well, the one thing, Fred, is
can't look any worse.
Probably. I don't know about this will motivate them because I think they were so motivated this year after the Colts loss.
And the other issue is, well, who's going to be on the team beyond motivation?
I'll tell you,
what are they going to do?
They got to get younger. I'm sorry, I'm sick and tired of hearing they can't find any linebackers in the draft. Geez, the Steelers, Cowboys, and Chargers got a whole bunch of them. You can't find any linebackers.
That's why Bobby Carpenter will put that out there.
You know, and you can.
you can say all you want about Seau and Brewski, and you can love all those, but they need a Beeson. They need a Patrick Willis. They need a guy out there who can whoop you, who can run. You know what I mean? They just, they got to get younger on defense, I think. And I know the defense, we're not talking about the Super Bowl in general because the defense did its job, but I think you got to get younger on the defensive side of the ball.
Pete from Hoboken, thanks for your top-notch coverage of the Pats all season long. Who needs scripted TV comedies and dramas when you have PFW in progress? Also, props to you for the successful Super Bowl blog. My only question, why are so many non-Patriots fans reading and posting negative comments on the Pats on the blog? I mean, get a freaking life.
As Andy said, they've been waiting 18 weeks. They've been waiting seven years
for this. They've been waiting to poop on this franchise forever, and they have their time. Strike now.
On a related note, I went out onto my front steps right after the game looking for solace in a six-pack of Busch Light. A couple of Jersey D-bags across the street noticed I was wearing a Teddy Bruschi jersey. They started yelling, "Hey, Bruschi, you're going to die of a stroke this year. You guys suck."
Oh, man. God.
Wow. So... They're really on us.
He keeps his beer on the front steps.
Busch Light.
You got to love the Busch Light.
Anybody miss that?
Hopefully you're in college still.
Doesn't sound like it.
Natty Ice.
Justin from New Hampshire, another year in the books. I don't know what bums me out more, the fact that the football season's over or that we're now only getting two PFW progress episodes a week. Well, it's better than nothing, right?
Maybe.
Patriots Nation needs you guys. Tell it like it is. Save us from the Eli Manning, Bill Walshing that's happening all over sports radio all of a sudden. Suddenly he's the second coming of Jesus when he nearly handed the game to the Pats three times in that fourth quarter drive alone. If Asante Samuel hadn't pulled a Ben Watson or if Brandon Merriweather hadn't pulled a, well, Brandon Merriweather, it might be a different story. But the fact remains the Giants made the plays and we didn't. The pass to Tyree was like a kick in the nuts, but it was a fantastic play and a game changer. Were the Pats overconfident? I don't know. I'd like to think that they weren't. Had the pressure finally got to them? I don't know that either. Maybe. All I know is that our Pro Bowl O-line got slapped around like redheaded stepchildren, and Brady spent more time on his back last night than the week he spent at Giselle's place before the Super Bowl.
Ba-dang bing.
But does that one game totally invalidate everything the Patriots accomplished this year? Are you telling me that if Samuel makes that one interception, suddenly the team and Brady are on a pedestal?
Yes. Because it tipped
off his fingers, now we're all big goats?
Yes.
I don't buy it.
If Bill Buckner catches the ground ball, he's not a goat. He's a goat because it went through his legs. That's how sports works. There's a fraction of a second, and you go one or two directions.
It was a great season, an almost magical one. We all wish it had a different ending, but it was an awesome ride and one I won't forget for a long time. It'll be very interesting to see what happens this offseason with our defense and our offense, but, man, it's going to be a long 7 months. Thank God you guys will be here twice a week to give us the real story. Your blogs were great. You guys all rock, even Eric. Keep up the great work and bring on the draft.
Hey, Paul, you know who was a good tight end? Jackie Smith.
Yeah.
You remember him? Yeah. He was a great tight end. Yep. You know what people remember him for?
The drop player. Against the Steelers.
I was going to go Scott Norwood, but there's an endless list of examples of people who one single play. But one play, either wins a Super Bowl or he loses. You know what I mean? It's the way
Bill,
it works.
Your Bill Buckner thing is perfect.
Jackie Smith
is perfect.
Great tight end, but
there's a million of them.
Bill Buckner had 3,000 hits. What does anybody remember him for?
Right.
Yeah. He's remembered for letting a ground ball go through his legs.
You can talk about the ifs all you want, but if Steve Smith doesn't drop that pass, the Giants may score there.
Right.
If Antonio Pierce turns around with the great coverage he has, the Patriots
it's only
a field goal. So you can say a lot of ifs all over the place. Right. You know, they got beat.
And I will also say this. You know, I've heard a lot of criticism of the last drive for Eli Manning. If Tom Brady engineered the same drive, are you trying to tell me that we'd be talking about the pass that went off of some defensive back's hands? Or the fact that he avoided
that sack somehow and
threw the ball down and gave Tyree a chance to make the catch.
Right. I do think it'll be interesting to see whether Manning takes it and uses it like Brady did 2001 and becomes this great quarterback, or if now there's this expectation that he's a great quarterback and he can't live up to it.
And, you know, I'm not sure I'd be willing to put my money on the former.
The Giants have the same role as a team. I mean, it's a nice story, but let's be honest. A month ago, they sucked. The quarterback sucked. The coach sucked.
They were going nowhere. It's astonishing. At least the Patriots, when they beat the Rams, were hot. They won, what, right. 11 in a row or something?
Yeah, they won, the last six? They were 5-5,
nine
right?
Nine in a row.
So they won, like, five. They were 5-5. They won their last six, and then they won three playoffs.
Yeah, so they won nine in a row. Here's a Giants team that, a month or two ago, we're naming replacements
cleaning
for
house.
Coughlin.
We're Bill Cowher was the head coach.
We're wondering if Belichick's going to New York. We're wondering what they're going to do with Manning, and now they're world champions.
And the same side of that is the St. Louis Rams were a budding dynasty, and they went south from there.
Right.
And that's why, not to get too far into Spygate, but like Kurt Warner and some of these guys say, how would history have been different had we won that game? Mm. Maybe Martz is there longer. Maybe Warner's there longer. Maybe guys are treated different. The whole thing changes.
That's why I'm more curious about how the Patriots react to this loss. Last year, when they lost that game to the Colts, they used it as motivation to do what they did this year.
Right.
I don't know how this is going to affect their psyche.
Can
going
you do it again?
All this way just to lose,
right.
What does that do now? Are they more motivated next year, or are they just still shell-shocked?
You know,
it's funny. Everybody always has those absolutes that we have in the NFL, and Tom talked about the buys and things like that earlier. But what's been more lock-solid than the Super Bowl loser? What happens to the Super
they
Bowl
suck.
Loser? Does anybody think the Patriots are going to suck next year? I don't.
Right.
I think they'll be back.
Let's see. Peter writes in, here's the answer to Fred's midseason question. Would Super Bowl featuring an 18-0 Patriots team be the highest rated ever? It was not the highest rated Super Bowl percentage-wise. However, it was the most watched Super Bowl in terms of...
And that was the argument.
Right. So I was right. I said it would not be the highest rated.
It's the highest rated, Fred.
It was the most watched.
It's the most watched.
It wasn't the highest rated.
And that was the
we were talking about the most watched.
I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
I said highest rated.
You said nobody would watch
the
Super Bowl.
It's the second most watched TV program of all time.
Gary, get the tape.
Behind MASH, which will never be beat by anybody.
I still don't understand how 30 years ago, or whatever that was.
There's got to be a flaw in that system.
I think there's a mistake there. Somebody moved a decimal point.
I mean,
or
can
put
you
an
imagine how many
I didn't
people
watch
were,
it.
Can you imagine how many people were watching the Super Bowl? You're telling me 10 million
right.
more people were watching MASH.
Has anyone ever checked, were there actually the number of TVs during that time that are actually supposedly were tuned into MASH?
They,
I don't think there
I,
were.
I don't think there
well,
were.
They had a big rant about
the difference
about
is a lot of people watch the Super Bowl with groups of people. But MASH, you watched at your home.
I thought it was
by
people,
yourself.
Though. I thought it was number of people.
It's most watched, right?
And wasn't this the most watched?
But I thought it was per person.
By number.
The rating is number is percentage of
the rating
TV
is percentage
sets tuned
in use.
Yeah, but you can't tell how many people are watching.
Well, they first of all, they can't tell anything unless they go around and ask every person. Did you watch?
It's a flawed system, but it's the same.
Take into account households with multiple TVs,
but it's apples to apples.
Right, it's the same for everybody.
I still say they screwed up 30 years ago.
They had a big rant about this on Mike and Mike.
Oh, the best part of this is the 53%, where they say it got a 47 rating. So you're telling me the majority of the country didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Mike Greenberg was astonished that there could be that many people in this country that,
amazing.
Watch, that didn't
that
watch
really
the
is.
Super Bowl.
Like, try to think of it. So it's not like we're in Africa where there's these huge villages where they don't have TVs. It's America.
But
most
I think
people
the
would
funniest
watch
part
it.
Of that, Andy, was they actually had people emailing in saying what they were doing. So now you're telling me you are a sports fan.
You listen to Mike and Mike.
You're listening to Mike and
but
Mike.
But you don't watch the Super Bowl.
But you didn't watch the Super Bowl. Some guy said he was kayaking.
Chris?
Another
Chris?
Guy said he went to Cirque du Soleil. I mean...
Oh, that's Cirque du
Soleil. You
know what? Gay.
You know, maybe...
Jesus,
you went
grab
to Cirque
your
du
balls.
Soleil.
Not on Super Bowl Sunday.
No, but...
Deidre would not make me go to Cirque du Soleil on Super Bowl
you know
Sunday.
What?
That guy needs to pick up his nuts and go somewhere.
Maybe that speaks to how overconfident football fans or
that's what
sports
I said.
Fans were that the Patriots were going to win this game.
That's
but you were wrong. 1 million people watched
the
game. More people watched this game than any
it
game
was not
ever.
The highest rated game ever.
Well, let's just
Fred,
give up because no matter what we say, he's going to say that was I.
No,
that's
but
what
plus
I said.
He knows he's wrong because he admitted he was wrong before. He
right.
admitted he was wrong.
He already
after. Backed
Gary, get the tape.
He admitted he was wrong.
Idle Butt says, I don't know what to say. I've been sick to my stomach since Saturday night when the whole Super Bowl 36 rumor came out. I had that momentarily lifted when the Pats scored their two TDs and have been sick ever since. What happened? Did the Giants have greater intensity, like Randy Moss said? Were they outcoached?
Yeah.
Or was it simply a matter of two well-matched teams in a death struggle and the Pats just happened to be on the losing end? I'm not looking to ascribe blame here. I love the team too much for that. I just want to understand what happened. Going back to the Spygate 30, Super Bowl 36 thing, the timing is obvious as hell a day before the game, so I would tend to doubt its veracity, except between being so down about the loss yesterday and the logical, if discomforting, speculation you had on Friday regarding the Pats, the commish, and those six destroyed tapes, I don't know what to think. Well, time for one of those bitter postseason purges where I stay away from all things football for a while. Of course, I'll make an exception for PFW in progress, but it may not be until the weekend before I'm ready to even listen to you guys. Tom, we'll get you that snoring device info once my tears dry. Hope you had a good trip home. So, there you go.
The trip overall was great,
yeah,
I have to say.
Phenomenal.
Couldn't have been any better until the game.
And the trip home was great, too.
And Andre Tippett's induction into the Hall of Fame was a highlight of the week.
That was great. That was...
Was the highlight of the week,
was.
Looking back on it.
Was
now,
it wasn't great for everybody. It was a highlight. NFL Network.
It was a personal highlight anyway, for, I think, for all of us, just to be, any small little way to happen to know the guy as he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I couldn't enjoy it, because once the NFL Network went off the air,
Tom's been ranting for a week and a half.
Tom was hot and bothered about that, Fred.
I'm writing my commentary about it this week, Fred. Last year, Michael Irvin, they brought Thurman Thomas in, when he was inducted, okay? And the coverage went on for about 2 hours, by the way, last year. Michael Irvin was late getting there. They kept the coverage right there. They allowed him to get on stage, talk in front of the media, say what he wanted to say, blab forever. This year, Tip is on the way. They know he's on the way. And they cut off coverage. So then he gets there, the local media is talking to him, and the NFL Network is grabbing him to get so they can interview him. This is the same NFL Network, mind you, Fred, that didn't show a clip of Andre Tippett or mention his name once the two previous years to get into the Hall of Fame.
It's unbelievable.
I just think it's
despicable.
A bunch of crap.
Despicable.
You know, the guy's he's on his way to the convention center. Why not give him the stage to sit there and talk and answer questions like that boring Daryl Green, who wouldn't shut up for what seems like 3 weeks?
Daryl Green went from one of the best speeches I've ever heard to one of the worst in the span of about 15 minutes.
And then he became the interviewer. He was like interviewing guys.
Awful.
He didn't give other people their chance in the line.
And
as Tom pointed out, you know, Rich Eisen did everything but sing Hail to the Redskins on the podium.
Yeah.
That was really
impressive.
Fred, do you think this is right? I don't want to single anybody out, but man, Art Monk made the Hall of Fame. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Do you think that...
When did Monk retire?
Roughly the same time as Tip, right?
So why are they
maybe
any different?
Maybe a little bit lower.
Rich Eisen doesn't know anything
about Art
Dean,
Monk.
Dean, Tippett, and Thomas all had to wait longer than Monk.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I just don't understand why you would say something like that. Well, why isn't it neat that Tip made it?
Right.
Because Rich Eisen's a moron.
Because no one knew who Tip was.
I'm canceling the NFL Network right after the combine.
Now it's after the combine.
And I'll be signing up again for the first
day. In case
I need it for my job. That's the only reason.
Chris in New York said, I'm with Fred. I would have preferred a blowout. These close games are taking years off my life. I certainly
probably would have preferred a win.
Now, Fred, just so you know, I want to state my case. I'd have preferred a blowout win over a close loss.
And either way, you weren't getting the blowout. Your best
case
scenario was
Freddy.
A close win.
See, that's the problem with these blowouts. These close games is they can go either way, and I don't want to have to deal with that.
That was remarkably composed, guys.
I was in shock.
He was.
I just kept going.
Is.
Oh my God, Fred!
But no, he was all right.
Well, I was ready to punch a wall, though.
Yeah, well, you didn't show that, though, and you had, you know, some important people around you, so I was proud of you. Fred had a long talk with Greg Aiello before the game.
Really?
Mixing and matching with all the NFL brass. It was very impressive.
What was that about? Nothing that
we
talked trouble,
about
right?
Some things that I don't like.
Oh, jeez.
We don't need to.
Now he hates you, too?
I had some problems I had to get off my chest.
Oh, jeez.
I would have done anything to be there to hear that.
Another enemy for PFW.
Let's see. Jeff writes in, difficult to believe that in the biggest game of the year, with the championship on the line and history in the wings, the Pats would pick that game to play across the board the worst game of the year. I spent the last few days recovering from that sense of betrayal and embarrassment. Now I feel it is very much like the mirror image of our 0-1 win. This time we were the monster offensive team that was universally expected to win. And once the offense struggled, then the wheels came off and the scrappy upstart team made all the right moves. I would definitely like to see Brady keep his composure better when things are going tough. Yes, the offensive line sucked, but I don't recall seeing Montana shrieking at his linemen in wideouts during a Super Bowl. I'd like to see cool confidence, not childish screaming. I'll bet his teammates do as well. On a positive note, it looks like the Pats will only play a few teams with winning records next year, at San Diego, at Indy, at Seattle, Pittsburgh at home. So we should have another good run. Hopefully, between the draft and free agency, we'll get a new rush of younger, hungrier talent and get back and win the big game. Perfection is overrated. We just want a championship.
Oh, perfection is not overrated.
Please.
I'm not
we
sure.
Have the best fan.
I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard that John Clayton said that the based on opponent winning percentage, it's the worst schedule in the league next year and the worst of
Super Bowl participants.
The lowest winning percentage for opponents since like when they've
been keeping
track of that.
By worst, you mean easiest?
Is that because of the? That's because of the AFC East, then the NFC West.
Oh yeah, they had Super Bowl odds to win the Super Bowl next year, and the Patriots are at the top of the list at 5-2.
But I can guarantee.
But do you know this? They're all the teams that are the worst. There's 8 teams that are the worst, all tied at 100-1. Yes, you're right, ladies and gentlemen. 3 of those 8 AFC East teams: the Jets, Dolphins. And
well, I guarantee the Patriots will not go undefeated.
I tell you what, though, the Patriots on defense need to do this offseason what they did on offense last offseason. They need to go on a little bit of a spree, get some an infusion of youth and talent on that defense because
they do. I don't know where they're going to get it from, but they do.
They got a lot of things to do.
You know, I heard someone on ESPN make this analogy, and I think it's probably the best one. This kind of reminds you of the UNLV Duke game. You ask me who's the best basketball team I ever saw. It's that UNLV
team.
But they didn't win it. There was that one game that they got caught.
Yep.
And that's kind of, years from now, Fred, like you said, it wasn't meaningless. People will still talk about this Patriots team, and you'll say, remember watching that Patriots team that year? But they didn't win it. And that's the thing.
That's the amazing thing. Let's see. Three big things, says Joe. And where he's he's from Roslindale. He says three big things stick out for me from the Super Bowl 42. One, coaching. 2 and 3, Kelly Pickler's cans. Okay, so I guess those last two don't necessarily stick out for me. But I guess my concern. I guess my concerns
that
about
made
coaching.
Three things sticking out: her two cans, and you know.
Oh.
You know.
You get the infatuation.
You get right up there, and then you have to pull back. You get right up there, and then you refuse to throttle it back a little bit.
I guess my concerns about coaching could be summed up with one long run-on question: did the 18-0 Patriots, 12.5-point favorites, who had beaten this team already just 4 weeks ago and broke several team and individual single-season offensive records during 07, coming onto the field after a 10-minute Giants field goal scoring drive really begin the game with a fake reverse and screen gag play? That play was a microcosm of the whole game. Maybe McDaniel should have taken some of those interview offers, because after this game, it's going to be a long time before he gets another one. Wow.
Yeah, the tide has turned on young Josh.
Wow.
I will say that was a microcosm, because on the first play of the game, Brady got killed.
Yeah, I thought of Eric on that play, because you kept saying that maybe they'll have some kind of – they've run that play this year, but to run it on the first play, I think would qualify as what you were saying, maybe some kind of trick play.
Right. But
well,
it's really turned on him.
I did hear that Brady told someone not too long ago this week that that play would have been a touchdown if he had a couple extra seconds.
Well, it looked like Maroney had room and blockers in front of him.
If my aunt had, but you know
what, she'd
be my uncle.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
I mean, he got killed.
I know, but
there's lots of ifs. Yeah. We just told people to start pulling out, stop pulling out the ifs.
Remember the play that Eli Manning scrambled out of the sack the first time,
and he
had Plaxico Burress. That play would have been about 80 yards too, but he overthrew him.
Let's see. Brian says, I would like to express my appreciation to Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, and Eric. Yes, Eric, too. Your broadcasts and blogs
They're
from
coming
Eric.
Around on you, Eric.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Your broadcasts and blogs from Arizona made me feel like I had more of an inside view of the Super Bowl than ever before. You did a great job. Perhaps because of the hype from PFW in Progress, Patriots.com, and the NFL Network, my hopes were unrealistically high. The loss is far more disappointing than it would have been if I had not spent the last 2 weeks getting psyched up for every game. NFL Network, God bless them, replayed every relevant game, including the Pats-Giants season ender, all the previous Patriots and Giants Super Bowl appearances, and even the Dolphins' 73 Super Bowl win. Disappointed doesn't even cover it. This team is supposed to be about winning championships, and forgive me for buying into that. I couldn't stomach Patriots Today's retrospective video montage. I don't want to think about the great season right now. Just leave me alone with my pain for a while. As a show of solidarity, I am wearing my Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo costume today, a blue shirt and khaki pants like they frequently wear on Patriots Today. Paul and I even have the same build.
If I
lost a little more hair, we could be
twins. We'll go bragging about that.
Sorry, buddy.
Wow, now I'm really depressed. Thanks again. Hopefully your show will help get us through the upcoming season, which will be the worst ever. Wow.
Who is that?
That's Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff, I have the black pants on with the brown shirt today.
Wow.
So but he still has the same build.
Still have the same build, however, and I'm sorry that you're sharing that with me.
Let's see. Henry from...
Hank!
From Norway. I don't know about you guys, but after 2 days,
like
I'm still feeling sick to my stomach, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I just want to forward some points questions and see what your views are. Offensive line, how good were the Giants? They were better. That's all.
How good
say.
Was the Giants' defensive line?
Yeah. I mean,
superb.
Yeah. They won the game.
He questions the offensive game plan. I mean, any game plan is going to fail if you can't don't give your quarterback time.
And he made that point in the first 10 yeah. minutes. I think he's right.
Did New England
tried all kinds of different innovations?
Right.
But
bottom line was.
See, I, unlike a lot of people, I think they actually did make adjustments, and just none of them worked.
Did you see the
Sorry, Fred.
There was a vague reference, and I always get in trouble in one of those chat board thingy, whatever, that fans use, that some radio had talked about, some player told them that Brady went to McDaniels at halftime and said, well, what adjustments are we going to make? And McDaniels said, none. We have a game plan and it's going to work or something. Did you guys see that at all?
No. I didn't see it and I don't believe it because I thought they did things differently in the second half than they did in the first.
I got to look into that.
Got a lot of emails here. A lot of people upset. Vegas got owned, says Alejandro. Hello, Fred, Tom, Paul, Andy, and Tom Petty of Web Radio, Eric. Heavy-hearted still. Didn't sleep at all Sunday night. Anyway, I read the L.A. Times that the Giants' victory over the heavily favored Patriots was the worst result ever for a Super Bowl for Sportsbook. According to Las Vegas insiders, Jay Cornegay, director of the Las Vegas Hilton Ports Sportsbook, the previous Black Sunday was the 79th Super Bowl between Pittsburgh and Dallas, which the Steelers won 35-31 while being favored between 3.5 and 4.5 points. Could you explain to me why such result was so devastating back then?
Because Tom, that's right up your wheelhouse there.
Because depending on where the line was, you lost every way. Like if some casinos lost it at 3.5, if they had it at 3.5, then the Steelers covered.
Right.
Other casinos had it at 4.5. So basically, everybody lost. That was one of those weird ones where most casinos didn't have the same line. That's why they called it Black Sunday, because virtually every casino got wiped out.
But I would think that everyone bet the over.
On this game?
Yeah. And Vegas should have cleaned up on
that. I know one
that.
Person who did.
But what happened was...
I told him pregame, don't do it.
He's so... what happened was Vegas set the line high and expected the line to drop, which it did. And then they expected late on Sunday that all the money would come pouring in on the Patriots. The exact opposite happened. Not only did more money come in on the Giants, tons of money came in on the money line, which is just to win the game outright, which was huge because the spread was so big. So they got absolutely annihilated when the Giants... When there's the saying now in Vegas that the most hated man in Las Vegas is Asante Samuel, because they could have lived with the Patriots not covering, but when the Giants won that game... They got absolutely wiped out.
But I would have, like I said, with the over, I thought everyone was betting
the
over.
But see, people don't bet the totals nearly as much, especially professional gamblers. They bet the sides, and the money lines are killers. And a lot of the pro guys, for some reason, and I have no idea why, and I'm sure Patriot fans will love to glob onto this, but tons of money came in on the money line the last 2 hours of betting for the Giants to win the game outright with no spread.
Huh.
Because the game was fixed. Fred.
Maybe it was.
How much money are we talking about here that Vegas lost combined? Billions?
According to Vegas, it's not a huge hit. But for them, for a one-day thing.
I saw $2.6 million.
Yeah. It's
they don't like to lose.
They said close to $3 million.
Yeah. They made
and a Super Bowl, they usually clean up.
So right. If you take away Tom's two friends, it's down to $1
right.
million.
Right.
True. Mark in Melbourne, Florida. I know you guys have probably gotten a number of emails about the puzzling coaching decisions in the game. The one that bothers me the most is how they could not be prepared for the Giants' pass rush. This is the only chance the Giants had to stop the Patriots because their secondary sucks. There was no contingency plan and no adjustments to the pressure. Aside from the puzzling decision to only dress two tight ends,
Who else did they have?
They had Steven Spock. Spock.
They never ran any trick plays like a flea flicker or fake screen.
First
play of the game.
That goes back to the other side. No max protect. No attempt at power running.
Almost
anything.
All mass protect, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I mean, they made adjustments. They had Brady in there. There were times where Falk was in there, picked up a guy, and another guy got to the quarterback.
I saw them have five wide. I saw them have two tight ends. I saw them with backs in the backfield staying in the block. I saw them with backs in the backfield going out for passes. It wasn't a lack of preparation. It was a lack of execution.
They got whooped one-on-one. It would be like if Andy and I were lined up, but he was beating me off the ball
probably
50 times in a row, and then Eric came over to provide help, and Andy still beat it. He's just whooping me. That's all it was.
I like this little scenario.
When you watch the replays, right? How many times? Well, and plus, I see Gary pushing the buttons too. But how many times did you watch a replay and see, you know, maybe a guy slam down on the inside and Tuck come wheeling around to the outside with no one on? I didn't see that. The only runaway guy I saw all day was Mitchell, the linebacker, Kavika Mitchell. He came up the gut.
And that was the play I was talking about, where Falk picked up the inside guy, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're supposed to pick up the inside guy with two guys.
Right. That was the only one I could really think of that said, well, they blew that one. The rest of it? There's nothing you can do when you have Kyle Brady and Nick Kazier on the outside and Michael Strahan's just running by them.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to put the back over there to chip them too? I mean, how much more attention can you have? The tackles got dominated, and I hate to say it because we all love them, but Logan Mankins did not play very well.
As Tom said, post-game party, Justin Tuck knocked the beard right off his face.
And that's all he talked
because he really was clean-shaven at the post-game party.
You were there, right? They were saying that he was cutting it in on the bus. When they were coming back home, he was cutting the beard off. He was so mad. But talking to all the linemen on Wednesday, for my update on the web that day, that's all Logan Mankins was talking about was Justin Tuck. They move him around. They bring him inside. They bring him outside. He's the guy. You know,
stand him up a little.
They have the They have the speed guys on the outside, but Tuck is the guy that we need to focus on. And ultimately, they didn't heed their own advice.
Anyway, Mark says, this was puzzling to me, and in my opinion, the worst coaching job for the Pats since the days of Pete Carroll. I don't know. Wow. I just can't go there. I mean,
I think they got out-coached. Yeah. I mean,
out-coached, but I think they got beat, too.
Right.
Yeah, I would say more
on it all on coaching.
I would say more on the coaching would be the mental state of the team.
That's what I fixate on.
You know, and then
the one or two game time, you know, game
right.
the field, decisions,
yeah,
like
a couple,
field goal.
But if you win the mental one, I don't think you get down to the field
Andy
goal.
Andy made this point in the first quarter, and I kept thinking about it the whole game. I think he's absolutely right. Bill has a way of tearing the team down. Can I mention the movies we saw on the flight?
No.
Okay. Bill has a way of tearing the team down. But sometimes you just got to let them go. The Ravens, the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Bears, when they got to that Super Bowl, they were better. They knew they were better, and they whooped you.
Right.
And you had mentioned they should have just let them be like Mike Tyson. You know, just go out there and you know, I thought that was a good point because they just seemed like it was.
It wasn't fun.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. It should have been a culmination where they got to do everything they did and have fun, huge plays, celebrate, dance, go out there and prove to the world that you're the best team on the planet. And instead, I do think he sort of cautioned them, tore them down. If you don't do this, this could happen. And it happened.
Just turn them loose.
Jeff in Vegas, I was the guy dressed in the Patriot costume that recognized you guys as you left the stadium.
Hey, Jeff.
All of you seem very shocked, so maybe that was the first time anyone has noticed you. While at the Super Bowl.
No, you seemed a little crazy. We'll be honest.
We were very scared of you.
Looking for security.
While at the Super Bowl, I was able to carry out some important business for Patriots fans. I had the opportunity to tell both Marshall Faulk and Tom Jackson to stop hating on the Patriots.
And the guy wonders why we weren't really overly friendly with them.
Both did not deny their dislike for the Pats, and Tom Jackson seemed particularly pleased after the game. Before the game, two things bothered me a little bit. While listening to last week's show when you had Gil and Gino on, I was surprised when Gil said that the Pats were going to win the game. I felt that was a bit premature. Also, a few days before the game...
That was 18-0.
That was it.
A few games before the game, a girl tried to sell me a 19-0 sticker. She told me that she had been informed that the Patriots organization had bought the rights to 19-0. This stuck with me for the rest of the week and bothered me. Do you think the Patriots organization might have gotten ahead of itself on some level? Aside from the loss, I had a great time, although I found the surrounding Glendale area to be somewhat of a dump and quite shady. Also, the fans during the week seemed very low-key. I thought there would be a lot more excitement in the days leading up to the game.
I think you're in the wrong area.
You're crazier than crap. That's all I'm going to say.
Did you hear that stadium, by the way, whenever the Patriots made a play? Or they?
Oh, it was
75%.
Yeah, but we need to let our listeners in on what this guy was doing, Jeff in Vegas. We walk out of the stadium. I was in front of you guys by probably 20 minutes
or
something.
Just because you walk real
but
fast.
But he was there. He was there when we came out, too. Yeah. And he was all dressed up in like this crazy, and he had this sign that had 19-0 crossed off,
yeah.
And it had 18-1 written off, and he's just kind of saying to people, 18-1,
still good,
18-1, still good,
still good.
And it was like,
still good,
man. You know, go home. It's over. It's over, man.
It was, yeah.
Like Andy says, I was just looking for security.
It was disturbing, Jeff. I'm sorry.
But and if you were in Glendale, I could see maybe Glendale wasn't great because the stadium is kind of out in farmland. Even though they've built up some, there's an arena and there's a mall and there's some things sort of like they're doing here, but. When we went to that penthouse party, Tom, that whatever area, that downtown, old town, something,
Scottsdale.
That place, it took us an hour to get there because of the traffic. There was so
the gay
people.
Section of town?
That's why Eric went there and wrote the story on it. Come on. It was a pickle party.
Well, the place you went to, yeah. You
oh,
didn't go to the other.
God, was that bad.
Thank God I didn't go with you guys.
Man, was that
you would have loved it. There were men everywhere.
The greatest text message I ever received yeah. was from Tom Casale.
We blame one person.
About 10 minutes after they get there, I get this... All sausage. I hate Andy Hart.
It was so bad that we really were talking. Tom goes, if this was a practical joke by Gary, it's the greatest practical
yeah.
joke in the history of the world.
I was waiting for some guy to come out in leather and start dancing.
I got to tell you, for the first time all week, we were really giving it to Gary pretty good all week, you know, kind of teasing him. And you know how well he takes it, Fred.
Yeah.
But the one time I really felt for you, G, was when these two idiots attack you when we got to the hotel. Yo, thanks for the penthouse party tickets.
He goes, you know what? Screw you.
But that's... And then Gary just lost.
Only I didn't say screw.
Yeah, but every time somebody goes to these Maxim or penthouse, I always hear the same thing. It was a bunch of guys.
You know why?
Because
everyone's at the Playboy party.
Right.
Everyone's at that one.
I'm told that Maxim was pretty good. Tom Curran from NBC Sports went to the Victoria's Secret. He said that was really good. Andy and I can vouch for FHM, and
sucked.
Tom and Andy can vouch for Penthouse. Those are not two of the parties you want to be going
I still
to.
Don't even think it was the real Penthouse. I think some because it was Penthouse Party, I think somehow they took the word Penthouse and made it into something else. There's no way that could be Penthouse.
It sucked.
Okay. Why, there weren't girls, like, spreading their legs and stuff?
There wasn't girls,
period.
There was, like, six girls, maybe. Maybe. And the hottest girl there, I think, was a guest.
And the only time I got touched by was some crazy Patriots fan that was rubbing
yeah,
her shoulder.
Yeah, a guy was touching our shoulder. Paul would have hated it. He was touching us like, hey, guys, what are you
makes
doing?
Makes me really, really uncomfortable.
It was so bad. When he was sending the text message to Paul, I looked over, and there was at least 20 other people in the place on their phones, looking down at their phones, texting or on the internet.
Probably doing
that's
the
how
same
bad
thing.
It was.
Writing the word sausage.
Yeah. Some people paid
sausage.
To get in. There were $400 tickets.
Oh, my God.
And I heard there was a guy in line that said, no, I'll just go buy a couple more, and he went to the ticket window and bought $400 tickets.
Oh
it sucked. Wow. We had three Miller Lights, five Miller Lights,
well,
and left.
Yeah, see, Tom made in his stay after that.
He did. He goes,
I
want to have five beers,
I was pretending I was having a good time at first because I wanted to make him pay for this.
It
I
sucked.
Didn't want to go. I was sick. And
cost us
$60
bucks each way with Sal the cabbie, who goes, don't worry, I know all the streets, and went down about seven dead ends.
Back of my hand.
And doesn't believe dead end signs, has to actually get to the dead end before he believes it's a dead end. this one goes over to Miller, all the way to Miller. We'll take this one.
Yeah,
none of them went to Miller, you idiot.
I'm sure Jackrabbit Drive is going to lead out to somebody.
We were in this residential area.
Now, the irony of all this, Fred, is right across the street from our hotel is the Fox Sports Grill, where Tim Fox,
right.
ironically, was hosting a party.
Use irony twice in the same sentence.
With
I bet they're both wrong.
With a bunch of Patriots alumni, and I went over there with my wife, open bar, all the food you could eat. It was fantastic food. And I got to tell you, it wasn't penthouse quality women or anything like that.
Neither was the penthouse
there
party.
There were tons of very, very attractive women at this party. Now, Andy would have been like, you know, calling me Gramps and stuff.
They were old?
Not old.
MILFs?
Yeah.
I bet you there's
yeah.
a lot of MILFs in
lot
that Glendale area.
I called them.
That Glendale where there's rich men with these
in the
attractive
blog,
wives
in the
all
blog item
up.
I wrote, I called them cougars, and in parentheses,
yeah.
MILFs, if you will.
Like that guy from the Herald that you knew that never heard the word MILF before.
Oh, God, that was
welcome to the 21st century, you idiot.
Matt from London, Ontario, never written in and only started to listen recently, but I was at the game in Arizona and was fortunate enough to be able to attend the Mellow Patriots post-game party.
Uh-oh.
And the highlight of my
night
was meeting Tom, Andy, the Leg, and Lori. I wanted to thank them for talking to me and giving me a few pictures. I'm a big fan of the show, and you were all a lot nicer than I expected, given you must have been tired and irritated.
Yeah, this I can't believe I'm talking to Tom.
This guy was actually somewhat normal, though.
He was. Yeah. What was his name?
Matt?
Matt.
And
Matt
P.S. Scalavino is just as goofy looking as he sounds.
Oh, is that Matt that works for the Blue Jays?
No, it's a different one.
Different Matt?
Yeah,
he's in Ontario. No, he said he never wrote in before.
He's in Ontario, which is...
I thought Toronto was...
Let's see.
Where's Toronto?
Canada.
Ontario. Yeah.
But, Paul, you know how Andy's a miserable human being? So I take the picture...
I was waiting for him. Shut up.
No, but I take the picture with him, right? And Andy's sitting down, and I know Andy hates us, so I was like, Andy, come on up! Come on, take your picture!
He did.
But you guys are such losers, though. You took pictures with some fan.
And then our,
what kind of a person does
and then
that?
Our jealous graphics design artist is sitting in the background. Because she gets so mad that people enjoy our show.
Unbelievably embarrassing. She can't handle
loser.
The fact
you're
that
loser.
We
why
have
are you taking a picture
friend?
With them, you loser? She's
she
a bad person.
She cannot handle the fact that we have a following.
Right? Yeah, I mean, we're stars.
You have to do something
There's
about
nothing
it.
We can do about it. She's a nobody.
She's and jealous I got to of meet our popularity.
Fred, later in the party, after Tom and Andy left, I got to meet, and you were talking about the member of the Patriots medical staff that has a nephew.
Right.
I don't want to say his name.
Right.
In case he doesn't want to know.
I was waiting for Fred to just say it.
Well, I don't want to
oh,
say
it. Oh, it was Ernie Adams.
He might not want to know. Might not want people to know. But he came up to me and he said the same thing. And you know, he wanted to take pictures. And I was like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll do this. But if you tell Andy and Tom that I did this, I'll deny it to my dying day. And then I find out that they were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Dean from DeBarry, Florida, pissed off at the coaching staff for not properly planning for the rush. If I can figure out the Giants' game plan, I am sure that the Pats' coaching staff could have come up with something to neutralize it.
What, a brick wall? Because that's what it would have taken.
This is like having
what was
your
the Giants'
heart...
game plan?
This is like having your heart sucked out through your nose. Ooh. Giants fans, go to hell. Congrats on the win, but anything New York will always suck if you are a true New England fan. I need a Valium. So, guys,
I can relate to the last part of that.
I think they prepared for the rush. They just couldn't stop it. This is one of those where my six-piece thing didn't work. Prior planning didn't prevent piss-poor performance.
Right. I talked to Gino after the game.
The three
he was P's on our
don't
bus.
Exist.
Tom Coughlin, who said the three P's, has never heard of them.
Has never heard of them when Tom Casale asked him about them. But Gino was saying it's as old as football. It's you were able to put pressure on the passer with four guys, and you were able to stop the run. Without doing anything special to do that also. And it was guys like Antonio Pierce and, the front four. Reggie Torbor played a little bit. Kavika Mitchell. Those guys, they didn't have to bring any safety help. They didn't have to do anything fancy. They stopped the run in their base set, and they got after the passer without having to blitz a ton. And if you can do those things, you have a chance.
Oh, this is going to hurt Patriots fans. They got those SI commercials out already commemorating.
They don't wait.
That's another thing I thought of shortly after the game. I hate those commercials. Even when the Red Sox win, I hate those commercials.
Did you see Eli's Disney World commercial?
Yeah. Yes. And I also heard him on Letterman say, what did he say that was funny?
Oh,
Bill was trying to beat traffic. That's why he left early.
Victor
felt like a setup, if you ask me, that one slipped to him. Even if there's no writers right now, somebody slipped it to him.
Victor in Sweden discovered your fine radio show during the past season and have been eagerly listening to it ever since. You all do a good job, and the radio show is top-class entertainment. Mm-hmm. Here in Sweden, the football coverage is a big dip in the minus column, but who needs it when this show exists? It's intellectual, humorous, witty, and very informative. This is my first time emailing. Don't know if you've had any from Sweden yet. Actually, you have. Well, Norway. We've had Sweden, too.
We're picking the Scandinavian class.
Well, Norway.
Asia.
So no.
Yeah, Africa.
He's like, Toronto. Where's Toronto? Ontario.
I think
where's
we've had
Canada?
Finland. We've had Norway.
We've had
Sweden.
Really?
Yet, since people don't really get the game in any respect, this past year has been a great one, especially for Patriots fans. But even though we lost the Super Bowl, we should be very pleased with the team's accomplishment. And you guys should be especially pleased, not for losing, but in fact, for the attention the team has been getting, you now have a fan base across the globe, and it will continue to grow next season.
I'm not pleased.
We got a bigger fan base in Africa and Nicaragua, where they sent all those 19-0 hats and T-shirts.
Fred, next year, and I had said this a few weeks ago, back when I said like the Cowboys were this. I didn't care about the individual stuff. Next year, can we stop with the how many touchdowns is he going to throw? How many, this? How about winning the Super Bowl for the first time in 5 years or whatever? You know, enough with the individual awards. I thought that was for Colts fans. Now all of a sudden.
It was until it was for Patriots fans.
So you got all the records, and you're the same as the Cowboys and the Packers. You went home, and you didn't win nothing.
Let's see. Henry says, I want to kill myself, but I don't have the strength. We had the chance to be the greatest team ever, a chance for immortality. Every football discussion would have been won by a Patriots fan. We would have been the greatest, and we blew it. This has been the worst days of my life. This is not a good season in my eyes. I don't care about records. Records don't matter. I was very confident that the Patriots would win. The thing, when the Giants started the drive, when they scored the winning TD, I was sort of hoping that they would make it or get stopped on fourth down so it would be closer. That's how – I don't know. All right. I can't read this.
You know what I was just seeing, Fred, back here? They're talking to David Tyree. I didn't realize he only had four catches on the regular season. Yeah.
He didn't have any in the first 3 months, I believe.
Did he, so he catches a touchdown pass and that – wow, that's –
yeah.
And
he couldn't catch him in practice.
Is
that him right there?
Yeah.
First touchdown in like 2 years or something like that, too.
Unbelievable.
An unlikely hero.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. First, I want to say great job covering the Super Bowl. I thought the coverage of Tippett getting the news at the hotel and Bielo's interview was great stuff. The Patriots got beat by a team that reminded me of the Patriots. The Patriots had so many chances to end that last Giants drive. It was maddening. I am now convinced that Brandy Merriweather is not capable of catching a pass. This season is the most disappointing playoff season ever for me. It was so much fun to watch most of the year, but you just can't end like this. Thanks for a great year by you guys. At least you had a successful game plan for the Super Bowl. So, what?
We did have a successful game plan. We did a fine job blogging.
We were just watching that David Tyree catch.
And Samuel was at the best, the fourth closest Patriot.
Yeah, he was that close.
Harrison, Hobbs, and Sanders were all closer than Asante Samuel. And I still say, I think they all thought he was sacked and stopped playing for a second.
And I also think that they probably played it right, because I think Rodney had perfect coverage on the play, and you can't do any more to break up a pass than Rodney did on that.
If he's going to catch it like a pass like that, he's going to...
You want to make sure you don't get called for a cheap penalty on a play like that.
And let's just think about it. This is sort of like that old Ted Williams thing. He was holding a round ball against a round helmet. If it goes in either direction, it squirts off in either direction. He doesn't catch it. It wasn't their day. Bottom line is, the Giants got the plays that usually the Patriots get.
I still can't believe that when the impact of him hitting the ground didn't cause the ball to get jarred loose. It's amazing.
It's a name you'll always remember, Paul, David Tyree. I might not, but you will.
It's just one of those
things. Terry Metcalf play?
If it happened to the Patriots, would be saying, well, it was meant to be. Yep. It must have been meant to be.
It
because,
was.
You know,
it was just meant to be for the Giants that night.
Yeah.
The thing I've been asking myself, and I think people might have to ask themselves, is why did they have to go through all of this just to lose? Like, you thought in the Baltimore game, when all that nonsense went on in the last 2-3 minutes, you thought then it's meant to be. They got to win the Super Bowl. They're going to go undefeated. Why then do they have to go 18-0 only to lose? What's the lesson?
Maybe they didn't
learn
it. Maybe they counted their chickens before they hatched.
To let Mercury Morris milk this as long as he could, and
they got too big for their own britches.
He must have been out of his mind.
Any other cliches I can throw?
Said he cried.
Yeah.
Did you see that commercial too?
Oh, I haven't seen
it.
Yeah, one.
I haven't seen it. I saw it.
Is it good?
I don't want to see it.
Funny? Anything?
Not really.
Could have been better if they didn't do it in an hour.
I was
going to
say, well, they did it like a PFW feature. You know, it'd be a good story. Have it by Friday.
There weren't any Giants players in it. I'll just say that.
Well, there couldn't be. They taped it Monday. Yeah. Well, they could have been. I guess they had taped both, but they were preparing for a Super Bowl.
Right.
So.
Peter says about the MASH thing. He said MASH beat Super Bowl 42 because there was nothing else on TV back then. No cable TV, no satellite, no video on demand, no DVDs, no YouTube. The MASH finale had no competition. So in some respects, the Super Bowl rating is more impressive in an atmosphere of endless entertainment options. But the MASH rating is no fluke. The numbers are accurate.
How do you know?
That's why he seems to know this stuff.
Anybody can seem to know something.
That'll
be
the
call of BS.
He went to Wikipedia.
Right. He looked it up on Wikipedia.
That'll be the biggest upset in TV history, with the next time something beats MASH.
Well, that's
whatever happened to Roots? Didn't that used to be in there for a while?
Oh, this episode's Roots that are in the top 10.
Let's see.
I just think every time I read a list, it's got a different... MASH is always the top, but every other list is always in a different order with a different
And we all understand about the entertainment options, but why did that one stand the test of time?
Right.
You know, you can't. It seemed like
I think everyone loved MASH.
I thought they loved Raymond.
It's funny. I don't know anybody who likes it.
But here's the thing. How many more people could watch MASH than watch, like, Seinfeld and Cheers and Friends?
That's part of the entertainment options.
All ages.
I thought the
Seinfeld
stuck.
Was a younger crowd. You know,
I don't remember MASH
being
that funny.
Yeah, you're still using lines from it.
You're no young guy.
D writes, and I have to comment on Brady yelling at others. I think he should have yelled at himself because that was the poorest performance by Brady I've ever seen. The defense held the Giants 7-3 for three quarters, and Brady did nothing. Outside of Welker and Falk, I'm just disappointed in the offensive line.
Yep.
That's D. She thinks he should be yelling at himself.
He didn't play well. And you know, we're talking about this, Fred. You know, in the last seven playoff games that he's played, in five of them, he's had a passer rating of 82 or lower. That's well below his normal standards. Mm. He had 200 pluses against Jacksonville this year when he was almost perfect, and the Jets last year. And five games, he's been below 82. That's way off from his normal. Now, they were able to win two of those games, but that's not necessarily what we come to expect from
Brady.
And
that's why I don't want to say he's better than Joe Montana. Yeah, I think people try to do that too quickly. You have to wait. You know what I mean? Like, Paul, if this continues, then I think it would be hard to say, well, he's better than Montana because Montana was so good in the playoffs. So now maybe it's just a bump in the road and he gets over. That's
interesting to see how the Super Bowl lost. I mean, those guys didn't lose any Super Bowls.
Right.
You know, it'd be interesting, even that one blemish on his record, if that affects it too.
Let's see. Dave says, shock, anger, pain, take your pick. All those words ran through my head Sunday night until the next morning and even Tuesday when I couldn't think. The real word is frustration. I knew it right when I saw the Patriots take the field Sunday night. I wanted to see 50 million Brady to lineman headbutts. Even my friends the next day said before the game they remember me screaming, Brady, get him fired up. Let's go. It's the Super Bowl. They looked down out of the gate. I felt it. I felt like they had nothing to throw at them intensity-wise. I know you don't have to be rah-rah guy to be intense, but it definitely didn't feel right. I thought Welker had it. I thought the D-line had it. I thought Moss even looked ready to go. Not to mention how many times did you say during the game, okay, here's the drive where they can do something.
Lots.
And yes, the D-line worked our O-line bad, but despite all that, we still had the lead with 2 minutes to go. It's one thing to have the ball bounce one way or the other and you lose, as we saw on some occasions during the game, but I just didn't feel as a team the fire was there. Maybe they should have been hammering the Heineken mini keg like I was all night because that sure got me going. Looking forward to your offseason coverage. You guys are the best, and your insight and coverage made the whole Super Bowl week entertaining and valuable. But, man, am I frustrated.
I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten the one email I thought I was going to get, the one thing my mother said to me. It's all because Bill wore the red sweatshirt.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He said, I don't know if he said it, he was wearing the red sweatshirt because he was calling the signals on defense.
He definitely didn't say it.
Why was that?
And I'm not sure we were going to say it until you said it.
Well, I mean, there was a reason why, and usually you wear red on the sideline. Especially
now you're just assuming.
No, especially during the Super Bowl when the sideline's so chaotic to stand out so the guys can find you.
Right.
Right. Dean Pease normally wears red.
And he had red on and he was down on the sideline, so I don't know if it was specific signals, defensive adjustments, whatever it may be that Bill was calling in, but that's the reason he had red on.
So if I'm connecting the dots here, you're saying that Bill normally doesn't wear red, so he normally doesn't call the signal, so he's letting his assistant coaches coach. Then when he finally takes over, they stink.
Basically.
The same guy he was in Cleveland. He just has good coordinators and Brady.
Well, I mean, that's an issue we've heard about in the past when in the book where Parcells talks about having to reel Belichick in at times.
Gloom.
What?
He used to call him Gloom.
So,
Fred, even you laughed at that one. Come on.
You can question Belichick for a number of things that occurred during the week. I mean, this is the second straight season-ending championship-type game where this random linebacker is on the field. Pierre Woods is on the field.
Yeah.
If Mike Vrabel's on the field, he takes that off.
Pierre Woods was the tip of the iceberg.
Don't tell me.
Kevin Smith, Rashard Moore.
Those guys can't get it up 52 seconds.
Right, no question. But don't tell me Mike Vrabel doesn't end up with that ball. Ahmad Bradshaw does not take that ball from Mike Vrabel.
Didn't you guys all kind of have a kind of bad feeling when you heard that Troy Brown was deactivated for the game?
Well, I felt bad for Troy, but not in terms of the game.
Not at all.
In this Hollywood scenario of a perfect season – You thought that Troy Brown would do something in the game.
Andy did.
I certainly did until he wasn't. You know,
I was just concerned that they would put the team out there that they had put all year, and the team they put out all year didn't really include Troy Brown, and they won 18 games. So I wasn't really worried about Troy Brown.
Pierre Woods or LaKeven Smith.
Yeah, it didn't include them.
I mean,
either,
maybe it was the heat. I know we've heard, you know, the Giants were struggling with the heat, and they were taking eating bananas and try to get rehydrated
in the stadium.
There is something
about
the Super Bowl because these guys, their adrenaline level is so – it's a longer game. the adrenaline level is higher. You tend to expend more energy early than you do in a normal game.
And there's also
Bill has always done a lot more rotation on defense.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
So from now on, if you know this and you're heading towards the big game, that's your goal, wouldn't you play these guys a little bit more during the season? You know what I mean? Like, do we have to?
But you got
to
get there.
But that's what I meant, though, Fred, with the personal records, with the let's beat every team by 50. How about you? You just worry about winning the Super Bowl from now on. Let's worry about that.
Yeah, but you can't do that because you got to win the game you're playing. You can't
52-7.
But you can't think about winning the Super Bowl until you get to the Super Bowl.
But
all right. Well,
when you're up, you're 45
that's
nothing.
That's bad coaching if you're not looking to.
When you're up 45 nothing, you can put a backup in to get them some playing time.
Yeah.
How's that any different than a college team that's, you know, like a USC or one of those teams that's so deep, but they score a few touchdowns, they put their second string, third string guys in to get them some experience, so that if they play in a bowl game, they're not, you know.
I'm not sure that's the kind of experience.
Did this team look tired to you the last couple of weeks? Did they look tired to you the last couple of games?
No.
Okay, because they look tired.
The game that they looked tired to me was the Baltimore game. They absolutely looked tired and worn out in that game.
Well, they were.
Well, they clearly did not play anywhere near the level that they had played the first 10 games, say, in the last 9.
No. I mean, they might have peaked too early. Who knows? I don't know. Marshall.
But you're refusing to give the possibility of
that they're tired?
An older team.
Why are they tired than any other team?
Because they're a little older.
Because they've had a lot of mental pressure
on
them, too.
Well, the offense certainly wasn't older. I mean, except
they're
for
not.
Randy Moss.
Kyle Brady?
Well, you're talking to, I mean, they have a young offensive line.
Yeah, but Brady's part of the guy who blocks.
Yeah. No, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it.
All right.
I mean, maybe Brewski and Harrison, you know, Seau, but, I mean, Seau had a pretty good playoff up until that last game.
Okay, Randy Moss. So Seau has never had a good game.
Oh, yes, he did.
Seau.
He might have had the play of the game against the Chargers.
He made a huge play against the Chargers. I wouldn't exactly say he had a great playoff.
let's talk
that's
about
his best line ever.
Let's talk about Randy Moss specifically, Fred. Andy kept pointing out during the game they don't care about Moss. I was sitting in the Jacksonville post-game thing, and the writers were saying, I cannot believe that they would put Brian Williams on him all game, because I guess Brian Williams isn't any good. And they said it was like they didn't care about Moss. So now all of a sudden none of these teams care about Moss. Was he – did he take a step back in the –
Well, I don't think that that's the case. I think that the Giants were willing to do what they did until Moss burned them, and Brady never had a chance to do that.
What?
I don't know what you just said. I think they were willing to just play a straight up defense until they had to change.
All right, so that's
and
three
the
teams that was they got away with it then. Three teams that
they got away with
it
because of their front,
San Diego and Giants all got away with it
because of their front four. The Giants got away with it. Yes.
But what about the other two teams that held
the
one catch?
He actually had a better game against the Giants than the other
right,
two.
One of the most games, catches in
on
the
one of the games, weather was clearly a factor. I mean,
which one was that?
That cold game here at Gillette Stadium.
So why did Chris Chambers and Vincent Jackson not get shut out?
I'm just saying, for whatever reason, I think that, you know, Moss didn't have a good game then. It's not like Brady didn't go to him in that game. You know,
we might as well just stop trying to analyze why something might have happened. It just happened.
I just don't.
Is there a chance he was really hurt or no?
I think there's a chance of something like that.
Yeah.
They said
he had an injury. Pro Bowl.
I saw the guy play at a level that I've never seen a wide receiver play at.
What was the game?
All
he got hurt.
So
him?
I think maybe there was.
Remember
something
the
like
game
that.
He got hurt and you said he's out for the year.
Oh, the Giants.
Was that the Giants
when
game?
He got hit? But then we didn't realize at the time he got hit.
Do you think maybe he got hurt on that play?
You never know.
That was the regular season game.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was never the same since.
He could have gotten hurt in that game, and we didn't know, but he did catch a bomb later in that game.
But, I mean, something lingers, or you twist it again in
adrenaline.
Practice.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because we should go back and watch that play and see if he had an ankle that twisted.
He wasn't the same player in the playoffs that we saw.
He got hit, but he lost his footing first.
Who knows what happened if he maybe got an ankle problem or something.
He got hit so hard because he lost his footing. We need to see that video, Fred.
I mean, other than the guy like, you know, Brewski and Seau, I just don't buy that these guys were fatigued.
Okay.
I mean, maybe mentally.
Yeah, I think that plays into
maybe
it.
The pressure of this season was, but not
that,
physically.
I don't think there's any doubt that was a factor.
Yeah.
And, you'll never get Bill to admit it, but I think a legitimate question would be, you know, in retrospect, obviously you know, like the cliche goes, you have to play to win the game. But in retrospect, do you think it may have been a bad thing that you were carrying this extra burden around with you all year?
I know, but what are you going to do? You don't just lose a game.
I know.
That's the Michael Gee theory.
Right.
No, you don't lose a game, no question.
Let's see. Marshall from Ohio. Yeah. I'm sad about the loss, and I hope the team does not have a drop-off like Super Bowl losing teams of the past. I've been thinking about the game in general and especially the last few minutes of the game, and I have some questions for the panel. One, do you think that they should have gone for the field goal instead of the fourth and 13th play?
Yes. I know Paul wasn't with us, but the rest of us all said it at the time.
Yeah, we thought so.
Well, I thought Fred was going to start crying in the press box. I couldn't understand it.
Do you think it may have been a better strategy to work the clock more on the last drive, even if it meant going for a field goal instead of the TD?
No.
Especially if it meant that.
Yeah.
The last drive, you think they should have worked the clock more? They scored the touchdown to go ahead?
Oh, I didn't. I thought he meant the last drive.
No. The scoring
Patriots.
Drive.
Oh, okay.
Because
no.
They left 2:39 on the clock.
No.
You know,
he said
they
even
scored
if,
on third down.
Yeah, and he said even down. If. Yeah, you could. You really, to be honest with you, that's a good point, Tom. You couldn't have taken really any more time.
When the Giants were inside their 20 on the last drive, why didn't the Patriots call a timeout to regroup?
I
guess they figured they might need them.
I was going to say they might have been trying to save them.
Yeah.
Maybe. And the Giants called timeout on the sack. So they had, I mean, the Giants called three timeouts
plus
the two-minute warning on that drive. So they shouldn't have been tired.
Yeah. Right.
Now, whether they were out of position or whatever, it looked like they went with what they
but
wanted
I
to go with
got,
on that
yeah,
play.
Yeah, they called a blitz. They went with it. They got beat.
And that's, Tom pointed out, they did that all year. When they were backed against the wall defensively, they came at you. And for the most part, it worked. Didn't work Sunday night.
Anyway,
and it's funny that it ended up being Hobbs, too. Because it could, I mean, on the same play, Samuel could get beat on that with Plaxico Burress. But, you know, Hobbs was the whole weakest link talk for like 6 weeks, 8 weeks at the end of the year. And then the biggest play of the year, they lose on a play over Hobbs.
Anyway, still thinking about the loss, but congratulations to Andre Tippett.
I
live in Steubenville, Ohio, which is only an hour from Canton, so perhaps I'll see you there.
Perhaps. You better be there. Are we all going?
We'll be there.
We rented a PFW RV.
I don't think we all need to go, do we?
I do. Well, I want to.
Want to go?
I've never been there.
We can go on our own.
You didn't go? Oh, that's right. That was the you were sick that year, right? 2000.
That was Pete Carroll.
No, it was Bill.
Oh, Bill.
That was Bill's first year.
I started in late August
Francisco?
Or something.
Yeah.
It was
that
after
game?
That.
Yep. That was Bill's first year?
Yeah. First game. That was the Bill Walsh game, Fred.
I remember the Bill Walsh thing, but for some reason I thought Pete Carroll was the coach.
You know what game it's going to be, don't you?
It was Bill's first game.
Do we play the Redskins every preseason?
No, but we play them a lot in the preseason.
If we play the Redskins, it'll be the Redskins-Patriots. Boom, there you go.
Or it could be Patriots-Giants. Have the Super Bowl champs play in the preseason.
No, but he's thinking you've got Art Monk.
No, I know. But it's not always the obvious one between.
I'm just saying if they.
I don't think it'll be us because we just played in 2000. I got to think that they try to cycle through the teams a little better.
I'm just trying to find a way to get us there.
We better be there.
We'll figure something out. Brian's from Honolulu. Oh, he's in Hawaii. That. Brian, I got somebody I need you to go check out for me. I need you to go paint a house for me. Aloha, he says. Did any of you see June Jones on the Patriots sideline next to Josh McDaniels? Looked like Josh used the Hawaii Sugar Bowl tape as a blueprint for his let your quarterback get cold strategy. Did any of you think that during the second half the Pats would have used the same strategy as the second half of the Chargers game? They could have used Vrabel as a third tight end since he was not involved in the defense. Where was Vrabel on defense? He usually has a play in these types of games.
He was trying to. I watched the game on TV. He was trying to get around the end all day. He just couldn't get there.
And he was out of the game when Pierre Woods was in there.
My plea to the team is that they trade down their first pick and take the money they would have to pay number 7 and give that to Asante Samuel.
Well, I don't know that that'll be enough even.
Well,
I mean, the number we've heard is $100 million.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, that's the figure I've heard.
$100 million.
$100 million.
Yeah, it's no longer a joke on a movie. It's
right.
Samuel wants,
which is absolutely ridiculous. I think
it all depends on how it's structured. Anyway,
no, I'm just saying
that
the fact
kind of
that
stuff. I don't care
that
about.
Money. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's does he get $20 million up front? You know, $35 million guaranteed.
Player.
But then the last 4 years you can lop off or whatever. I don't know.
At least a baseball player, you're virtually guaranteed he's going to play out the contract. Rarely do you get an Albert Bell. But a football player could be done tomorrow. And you could have just signed him to a 10-year, $100 million contract. That is amazing.
Let's see.
Good, Fred.
Matt from Quincy, just back from Arizona, which after seeing all the enhanced women, I shall henceforth call the Silicon Valley. As a married man, I do not believe I'm mature enough to stay faithful to my wife for more than a month if I actually live there.
Good work.
As for the game.
So that's why Tom's going to move there.
Yeah, I'm not
without
sure,
Allison.
I'm not sure there is any analysis that can adequately cover what happened. It's easy to say that the O-line couldn't protect Brady and the DB simply couldn't make one single play when they needed to. I can only tell you my feeling from where I was sitting was that from the beginning of the warm-up, the Giants seemed to look like a much looser team. I'm not sure if you noticed this, but when I saw Zach Diassi and Kevin Booth about an hour before the game bowling for dollars down by the goal line and the Giants inactives watching Alicia Keys do the pregame show, I just had a feeling the Giants weren't fazed by what was going on. They were enjoying it. I didn't get the same feeling from the Pats. I believe the whole game was played with the Giants not afraid to make mistakes, just flying around. What happens, happens. On the other hand, the Pats played with nervous hands, slow feet, afraid to screw up. When you play that way, it is inevitable you drop interceptions, miss assignments, and fail to take advantage of opportunities. In my mind, that is what happened. Still, I'm glad I was there in section 115, row 25, seat 6, where I had better coverage on plaques than Ellis Hobbs.
Well, we've been saying all along, the team that's going to beat the Patriots is the team that's not scared of them.
Right.
That comes in, whoops them in the mouth, and I think that points back to the first time they played. I think that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Not only did the Giants stay with them, they got a chance to play them and get some tape on them, and they changed some of the things that they did defensively. Maybe some of the things they were scared of in the first game, they switched around. I don't know. But I just think playing them once, seeing them on the field, and not just because you know, who said it? Brandon Jacobs said a lot of teams went in there. It was either him or Strahan. Jacobs said a lot of teams went in there and they were already beat. So I think actually being on the field with this great undefeated team helped the Giants.
And you know what's kind of interesting? They played five teams twice. And the only one that was discernibly worse the second time was Buffalo. Miami got blown out in both games, really, but the game here was more competitive than the game. The game there was like a college game.
Yeah.
They played much better here. The Jets was a much more competitive game the second time around. We all chalked it up to weather. San Diego was a much more competitive game the second time around. Fred chalks it up to weather. And the Giants game, obviously, they played them nose-to-nose twice.
Now, Tom, we talked about this a little bit on the bus or on the plane, on the bus actually, going to the airport on the way home. The talk in that Week 17 matchup, all that week was, should the Giants and or the Patriots rest their starters? Imagine how different the playoffs and the Super Bowl would have been if the Giants had rested their starters and gotten blown out, or it was a totally different game, because that game built them up to where they were this postseason. So next year or seasons from now on, when you hear teams say, well, you know, should they rest their starters or not, look
that'll
back
be
to the 2007
Giants. That'll
be the
Giants. Case in point for not resting your starters.
We'll never know.
Phil,
that's true. Maybe they would have blown the Patriots out in the Super Bowl.
Phil says
maybe they would have gone unscored upon in the playoffs.
Phil says, every time I heard someone say this is the best offense in history, I had to keep myself from laughing. Yeah, they broke records, but that was just three players contributing. The guy who did nothing all year was Dante Stallworth. When Randy Moss is stopped, like all other analysts have been saying, Wes Welker can move the chains, but he can't hurt you. That is when you need a viable third option, not just some gimmick bust of a first-round pick who can only catch a football when not moving on a wide receiver screen. Really, this guy was a waste of space. He wasn't a red zone option. He didn't make any of the plays wide receivers make, like a good sideline toe-tap catch. Also, he didn't make the type of big play down the field he was advertised to make, like the plays big-time receivers make when they beat the corner with their speed and catch a rainbow pass. We didn't see that much this year. The play against the Jags was a busted play. He wasn't even on the field when they tried the Hail Marys at the end. Watson and Gaffney were in. That shows that the coaches think of him and his blazing speed. All year, I just kept thinking if we had, like, maybe a Donald Driver or Larry Fitzgerald instead of this stiff, then they'd have broken the records twice over. You guys
Jerry
can't
Rice.
Tell me that there isn't a player in the league you'd want instead of useless Stallworth.
I
can't possibly disagree with that whole thing more.
I would like to have Larry Fitzgerald more than Dante Stallworth.
I would.
I mean, we're going to get all the wide receivers on this team?
If you get Chad Johnson, too, we might as well bring him down.
They only had three
Smith
guys.
To be traded,
yet they tied the record for the most different players to score a touchdown, right? 21 players?
How did Dante Stallworth end up the whipping boy of this guy?
I don't see what this guy did to deserve that.
The fact that he's not on the field for Hail Mary which I'll take your word for it. I don't really know who was
he's
out
there.
He's
only 5'9".
The fact that he's not out there for a Hail Mary is an indication that the coaches don't have any faith in him, but they have him out there for all the other plays in the game.
And I'm wondering if this guy, what's his name? Who is this?
I don't know.
Mrs. Stallworth.
Would he have such venom if Asante Samuel makes that interception?
Right.
And they win 14 to 10.
Right. He's not 5'9", Fred.
Alden says,
six feet.
I agree with most of you guys. We just got whooped at the line, plain and simple, a lack of execution at the most basic level. Sure, other things could have gone better, but the most critical failure was up in the trenches. When your QB is sacked and hit that much, you probably aren't going to be able to get much going. Clayton says the Patriots' opponent's win percentage next year is 387, although you never know how teams might get better or worse before the season actually starts.
Right.
Clayton thinks we will go 14-2. That seems a little to me, but I'm probably just depressed about the game. Maybe 13-3.
They need help on
defense. I don't feel willing to make a prediction. I don't know what the roster's going to be.
I
don't know who plays in linebacker,
like
the secondary.
Right.
I don't know who the receivers are.
I don't know who all those guys are on the other team.
Right. Can we draft first?
But not, I mean, this one, I couldn't tell you what the Patriots roster is going to look like. I have no idea.
Do you think they'll go 14-2 if they lose Seau, Brusky, Samuel, and Moss, and Harrison.
Stallworth, they'll go 15-1, according to that guy.
No, but Tom and Andy are right.
Gaffney?
How do you have any idea? They could potentially lose a lot. They have 14 free agents. One restricted, 13 unrestricted free agents. What if you lose, you know, Gay, Samuel,
Wilson?
Wilson, now, you know, that's three of the seven defensive backs you basically rotated in. And then you lose Seau, Brusky, maybe Roosevelt Colvin.
Maybe Harrison.
Okay.
Maybe Vrabel.
Oh, I forgot about Harrison. Yeah. You could lose four of the seven defensive backs you rotated in on
your receiver.
Now you could lose Colvin. You know, theoretically, this is worst case scenario. You lose three linebackers.
Right.
Four defensive backs.
Right.
And then you lose Moss, Gaffney, Stallworth, Washington, and Troy Brown.
You know, you're
left with Chad Jackson and Wes Welker.
You know, you look at all that defensive possible losses. Maybe that was part of the thinking this year is we're going to go for it this year with offense because our defense is going to, you know, is getting old.
Hang in there with the defense.
And then we're going to rebuild.
Yeah. It might have been.
You never know.
Rebuilding year, Fred Kirsch.
Oh, I don't know if Fred Kirsch can handle a rebuilding year.
TG and NJ, the thing I really can't stand, and I'm down here in New Jersey, is all the bandwagon Giant fans. All of a sudden, everybody is wearing blue. They got jerseys, hats. Everybody comes out for the parade. Everybody loves Eli and Coughlin now. What a joke. Just 2 months ago, they were saying Eli couldn't play. Even Reese, the GM, called him skittish. They wanted Coughlin fired, expected the team to fall apart down the stretch. Now everybody's great. In your best Felger voice, give me a break.
Give me a break.
I had more faith in them than most so-called Giant fans I know. These New York fans are a real hoot, Fred Kirsch terminology. What a mob mentality. Yeah, I know, Boston fans are just as bad. After the season that they had only a couple hundred show up to meet the Patriots at home, that's pathetic. Screw the NFL. I'm turning to college football.
By the way, that's how a lot of Patriots fans felt in 2001 when the team was 5-5, and Bledsoe was hurt, and Belichick was, you know, not a Super Bowl winning coach.
Duplicitous pond scum, according to Kevin Mannix.
Well, you know, the same scenario.
TG and NJ will be happy to know that my father still thinks everybody on that team stinks, except for the defensive coordinator. If he goes, they'd be win three games.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be next. I'll see you next Tuesday. All right.